Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and the Advise Show.
All right, what's going on, everybody? It's time for the radio show tonight. We got a good topic we want to discuss, abusive parents. And the reason why we want to discuss this tonight is it's something that really a lot of people deal with or have dealt with in their lifetime, but a lot of people don't want to talk about it, whether it's the father or the mother. So we wanted to share that, and I'm going to share some things myself that happened during my childhood. Well, before we get started with anything, how you doing, Ms. Gabriella?
I'm doing great. Enjoying my time off.
Enjoying your time off. Is it hot up there?
Very.
Well, what's the temperature like over there? You have any humidity?
It hasn't been as humid as it's just been hot. It's just because I feel in North Carolina, we only have two temperatures. I mean, sometimes it's mild, but for the most part, it's either hot or it's really, really cold. And right now, it's been hot. So for the past week or so, I wouldn't even leave the house until after about 2 or 3 o'clock. And even then, sometimes it's too hot because it's like 90 degrees every single day. The sun just blaring down on you.
Yeah, it's been over here. It's been like about 95. And then when you add the heat index, because see, what people don't understand about down here in Houston, you deal with humidity. So you don't have like, let's say like in Southern California, you have like a 95-degree day, and it feels like 95. Over here, 95 feels like 105, 110. That's the bad thing about here with the humidity. I mean, it sucks. So you really don't want to be in that mess if you don't have to be. But now on to the topic. Ms. Gabriella, abusive parents. Before I start saying anything in my little speech about it, what's your take on it?
I feel like there are so many different forms of abuse. There's physical, there's verbal. There's, in my mind, I feel like there's forms of abuse that you can't even see, because sometimes people will look at a child and they'll say, okay, well, their hair is neat, they don't have a snot nose, they don't look like they've been beaten up, they look like they're well fed, so they don't see any problem. But at home, mom might be bringing different men in and out of the house all the time. She might be smacking her around, yelling at her, calling her like she's not, like, you know, treating her like she's a dog, and nobody would ever know about it because people look at abuse and think, oh, well, abuse is only physical.
Yeah, see, the thing is, abuse that's physical is something that everybody can see, so people react to it. Mm-hmm. But the, you know, verbal and mental abuse, nobody can see, but eventually people do see it through the children's reaction or even the current adult today's reaction. A lot of people's actions sometimes stem from abuse that they suffered, you know, during childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, you know, really need some help, really need to talk. They need to vent. They need to get, because, you know, if somebody fences is not trusting, let's say they're not trusting, and it can stem from something from childhood, then it's going to ruin every relationship they can have, whether it's a friendship, you know, dating, marriage, whatever, because you got to trust somebody. I'm not saying trust any old body, but, you know, you got to learn to, you know, trust somebody sometime. And if you can't do that, then how are you going to be in a stable relationship with anybody?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is the thing. Tonight, you know, the calls that come in, like I said, as in-between calls or whatever, I'll probably discuss my particular situation having me to childhood, but I see one call, and the show is about, you know, you guys calling in and discussing it, so we will go ahead and let the first call in that we see on the board here. All right, you got all ones, but you're on the show. Caller with all ones on your number, you're on the show. Well, they pressed one, so I don't know. I guess I'll mute them back out.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. They pressed the one button to talk. So, you know, the thing was in the queue. So, caller that called in, if you want to talk, just hang up and call back. That way I know you want to talk. Anyway, so let me get into, you know, some things that happened to me, you know, during childhood. You know, my parents had split, you know, when I was about 8 years old. You know, I didn't understand why at the time, but they did. And, you know, there's a lot of things that happened, you know, during my childhood that I didn't understand. And I got some clarification for as I became a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got clarification and I started seeing a lot of things that I used to believe about my own mother, you know, she would tell me, you know, a lot of it was straight up lies. But, you know, some of the things that, you know, like my mom used to do was that she would always want to depend on me for everything. Because ever since I was like about, I'm going to say about 8, 9 years old, and the first time I had a chance to work and make some money, you know, my grandpa cutting grass. Shoot, I was hooked then. I was like, shoot, so the more I work, the more money I get. So that was like I love it, you know, even to this day. You know, I'm a hard worker. I hustle because I want to have, you know, good money. And this is much easier in your life when you got a little bit more money. But anyway, so as I got older, you know, I would buy my own clothes, I'd buy my own everything. And I remember one time I worked hard. I remember when the Sega Dreamcast came out. And, you know, I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. That's old.
Yeah, it, when that came out, I remember that. And it was a nice system. I wanted to buy it. I worked my little job, and I bought it. Come home one day, and maybe after I had it about a month, it was gone. I like, where my Dreamcast go? I know this morning I left, and I said, okay, I'm going to come back and play my game. Come back and say, hey, what my Dreamcast at? My mom's like, oh, I had to pawn it because we needed some money. I'll get it back out. What ended up happening? She didn't get it back out. So I was pissed off. So then, I mean, I bought this with my own money. Mind you, my dad sent child support, but I still bought it with all my own money. So I bought me another one. She did the same thing. And I would be pissed. I'm like, why are you taking my stuff? And my mama wasn't on no drugs or nothing, so it wasn't that. You know, she said she just needed money to do this and do that. But it wasn't my responsibility to support you like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you know, I have money. She's like, can I have $20 to get something to eat? And I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then she come back. I say, well, no, my change. Oh, no, I need to spend it and do this and do that. And they're like, I say, man, I couldn't even give her, like, a dime. Like, even as a kid, like, just 16 years old, stuff mm-hmm. like that. Or, you know, when I would say something to her, oh, you just like your dad. You always got to say this. You always got to say that. It was always something negative about my dad. Nothing positive. Mm-hmm. You know, you just like him about money. You just like him. Like, well, I say, and I, one time I say, well, if he's the way he is, I mean, shoot, if I'm gonna like him, I say, good. Well, that's real good. I say, because my dad does very well for himself. Very, very well. He worked hard to get where he's at today. So I have never respected my father on that. But, you know, it's like, it was just such, like, just vexing me all the time. Putting my responsibility to take care of my own mother and my sister. Like, that's not my responsibility. But, yeah, she was just all the time, like, you know, I got a car. She always wanted to be using my car, using this, using that. And it just got annoying. And, like, it was so bad, I had to leave the house and get in a relationship I shouldn't have got into just to get away from her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it was just too much. And it's like, you know, just trying to guilt trip me and cry and all this other stuff. That's why I'm just like, when it comes to females crying too much, I'm like, I don't want to hear all that. Because my mom just spent that out of me a lot. She has. You know, but she just wanted to manipulate because she cared about herself. And that's a lot of, and my thing is, I used to have a lot of issues, like I say, with a lot of black women. Because of my mother, not because any black woman done me anything to that level. But mm-hmm. the thing is, you see, like, just a hint of anything that resembled your mother through them, and it just stir up an old bone and an old wound with you. And so you see some of these black dudes online talking some of the stuff they speak sometimes, and I can hear what they're saying. I can tell they have a mama issue, not really an issue with the women. The women's just used as the one they beat up on, but because they afraid to talk about the issue and abuse they suffered at the hands of their mother. But some of these guys have been very emasculated. Some of them has been just really nasty, talked down to, cussed out, and all this other stuff. I mean, it's just crazy. But we got a call. Let's see. I'm going to let this one in. Let's see if we can get it on in there. Area code 919, you on the show?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes, this is Shamir. I'm 22.
Okay, hold on a second. You're breaking up. Your phone messing up. You're speaking to your phone.
Okay. My name is Shamika. I'm 22, and I have had experience with my mom, like the verbal abuse. She would just talk down to me, like when she's really mad at me. And I have mentioned to her to get some anger management, but she refuses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want her to go to anger management, or are you going to anger management?
I want her.
Okay, you want her to go to anger management. Well, what would set her off?
Like sometimes it's just minor things. Like, she has cussed me out, like, since I was 7. She will use nasty words towards me.
Mm-hmm. And like, how, and just, let me ask you a question. What kind of effect has that had on you, just even as of today, you being grown?
As of today, like, I try to watch what I do and say around her, because she would just go off, like, she would call me all kind of hurtful names.
Well, you know, my thing is this. If you can't talk to me right, you can't respect me, I'm not going to be around you. I don't care who you are. And I don't care if it's my parents, my brother, sister, whatever I have, you know, we can't be around each other, because you're not going to talk to me any kind of way. I'm sorry. That's just not going to happen. You know, as a child, you maybe had to deal with some of that. But as a grown woman, you shouldn't have to deal with that. And you shouldn't, you know, have to be walking on eggshells around nobody either, because, I mean, come on. You don't know what's going to set somebody off.
Yeah. Like, okay. One time, like, I made this simple statement. Like, I said to my mom, I miss when you used to work nights. And then she just went in on me, started talking around, so you can be a hoe, what you want me to work for? So you can do what you want to do? And she just started saying all this mean stuff to me, like, out of nowhere.
Okay, so she started calling you a hoe and all this other stuff, because you said that. And you know, see, and let me ask you a question. In your relationships with men, how has that affected you in any way possible? Would you deal with your mother?
Not exactly.
Because, see, people respond to abuse two different ways. They either say, you know what, I want to be the total opposite of that, and that's the best way to be, or some people internalize it and it causes problems in their in their life today, you know, that's even though they've grown. So you sound like you're the type of person that say, I want to be the total opposite of that. Am I correct?
Yeah.
See, that's how I was. I said, I'm going to be the total opposite. I'm not going to do my kids some of the things that was done to me, because that isn't right.
I would never talk to my kids that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she, when I was younger, she would call me dumb and stupid.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, but she was serious and she was saying it?
Yeah, dead serious.
Well, like I said, if she's still that way, and, you know, eventually, like I said, you have children or whatever, and she can't straighten herself up, I wouldn't even bring my kids around her. I said, not until she straighten up, because, you know, as a parent, you don't bring your children into an abusive environment. And in an abusive environment, sometimes it's family. And if you got to stay away from certain people, you got to stay away. So, I mean, that's just what I suggest. I mean, Ms. Gabrielle, got anything you want to add to that?
I just think that it's good that you understand that just because your mother was abusive towards you, that doesn't mean that you have to be abusive towards your children. Because I've seen people that have been abused by their parents, and then they go on and they treat their children the same exact way. So I feel like the best thing to do is just to try to be a better example you know, because when you decide to have children, you can say, my mom treated me bad, and I'm going to be the exact opposite of my mother. I'm going to treat my children right. I'm not going to yell at them, talk down to them, make them feel like they're nothing, because that's what a mother is supposed to do.
Yeah. I remember when I was 13 and I came off the bus, it was snowing, and my mom was at the bus stop and I didn't see her. And then I walked home, and then she came home later. And then she was calling me all kind of bees and all this. She thought I was playing around. And I didn't even see her.
So that's messed up. I mean, because, you know, you don't call your children those names. I mean, you like I said, they got people that treat their dogs better than that.
Yeah, and this ongoing with her, she'll apologize, but then it'll be something else another day.
Oh, one of them types, huh? Oh, I'm sorry, you know, and then abuse you, like give you flowers one day and then beat you up the next.
Uh-huh. And she'll do it again another day. Something else sets her off. I don't know why she won't get anger management.
Because she's comfortable like that. That's why. She's comfortable. She's so used to that. I mean, in order for you to realize that you have a problem and then actually seek professional help, I mean, it takes a lot from some people. So, you know, if she ain't done it by now, it'll probably take an act of God for her to do it, you know, because she's set in her ways already. And she's thinking, you know, she could talk to anybody any kind of way. And, you know, people like that, you know, they know who to do that to. They don't do that to everybody.
Yeah. And, like, when I got in trouble at school, when I was in ninth grade, she sat at the table with me for, like, 2 hours berating me and putting me down, calling me all types of names, just cussing at me like I was nothing.
And let me ask you a question. Where is your father?
He's here. He tries. He tries to calm her down, but does no good. She'll get mad at him and talk to him the same way.
What are they? Are they divorced? Or are they? Yeah, they was. You know, when you were growing up.
No, they're currently married.
Oh, they've been married all that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he let her talk to you like that?
There's nothing he can really do. He tells her to stop, but she
won't
listen.
A whole lot you can do. There's a whole lot you can do, but you know, some people feel, you know, I hate situations like that because, you know, you don't let somebody just run wild in the house and do stuff like that. Yo, he could put his foot down and told you to, you know, straighten up or I'm gonna fix the situation. I'm gonna take my kids out of here. That's what I'm going to do. You keep talking to them crazy like that if you want to, because that ain't right. You know, we get to the point that you're breaking the heart and breaking the spirit, you know, just based off of what you're saying, you know, no, that's not the right way to be. It is abusive. You know, when you are disciplining your children, it's about correction. It's not about breaking them down and hurting them and making them feel like they're less than, you know, human. That's not, you know, what a parent's supposed to do.
Yeah. But when I was 16 one time, and I couldn't find my house key, and my mom, she thought that I lost it, and she was like, "You stupid heifer, you stupid female dog." And then I walked out of the kitchen. I was crying. I was in tears. Like, I was shocked. And then I went to my dad. And then all of a sudden, in my surprise, he turned on me. He said, "You think this is funny? This is all your fault." And I felt so helpless.
Why would he say it's your fault?
I don't know. He was talking about I was smirking and laughing, and I wasn't.
Oh, so he's part of it?
Well, that day, like.
Yeah, because it sounds like he wasn't supporting you when, well, you know, like I said, he wasn't really being a whole, you know, a lot of supportive on a good, you know, day because he was allowing her to talk to you like that. And, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, say a bunch of bad stuff you know, about your parents or your father, anything like that. But in my opinion, that's not, you know, being a man in your house. That's not protecting your children.
Because
mm-hmm. you don't sit there and let, you know, I don't care who it is. If he was talking to you that way or she was talking to you that way, whatever, one of them was supposed to step in and say, no, this is not the way we're going to talk to family. You know, when you have family, you don't talk to them like that. Family supposed to have each other's back. That's yeah. what we're supposed to do. I mean, at times, you know, at times we get into two different, you know, disagreements as family. I mean, it happens, okay? But we don't talk to each other to the point that, you know, we acting like we are each other enemies.
Mm-hmm.
That we talking to them like they, like say they worse than a dog. No, if you get that upset, just go sit down somewhere in Woosah. That's the only thing I say. You know, even when you get so upset with your kids, at times you can't get upset with them. Sometimes it's best just to go to your room and cool off a little bit before you deal with them. So you won't say nothing you shouldn't to them. Because the thing is, when you say certain things to kids, that sticks with them a whole lot more than what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just the thing I've noticed is that people treat their family members worse than they would ever treat anybody else because they know no matter what, their family is going to still love them.
Well, you know, what I was told growing up is this. How you act at home is the real you. What you act outside that door, it could be fake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of, and this girl that I used to catch the school bus with, she was so fooled by my mom. Like, I posted a status on Facebook, and I said a cuss word, and she said she was going to tell my mom because she knows that my mom would not want me talking like that. Because she doesn't look like the type of person that would use cuss words.
That reminds me of that old commercial, actually.
You know, it's like, you don't even know.
Well, you know what you were saying reminds me of that. It's an old school commercial a long time ago. It was about drugs, and the dad found drugs in the son's room. And the dad say, mm-hmm. hey, where did you learn this from? Why are you doing this? He said, you say, well, I learned it from you, you know, because the dad would use drugs too.
Hmm.
And so, you know, that the kid is picking up off of what they do. So, you know, let's say you was a kid and you start just cussing everybody out from one end to the other. Well, who'd you learn it from? You learn it from her. It's just a simple explanation. You know, one thing I can't stand as a parent getting onto a child for something they do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand that. You tell your child, don't smoke weed, but you're getting blazed every day. Or don't drink. Yeah, you're getting sloppy, pissy drunk every day. But you tell your child don't do it.
Yeah.
Then they come up with this, well, do as I say, you know, do as I do.
Not do as I do, but that's crazy. I don't think anything.
And she'll talk about how I don't want to eat healthy. But she's eating candy every day. And she'll say that I have a problem with eating healthy and I have an eating disorder.
You have an eating disorder?
That's what she's saying, and I don't think I do. I totally disagree.
Well, I mean, you say you disagree. Well, why would she say that?
Because, like, there's certain things that I don't want to eat, like, there's a lot of foods that I don't like, and she finds fault with that.
Do you currently live with her now?
Yes.
Okay, you say you're 22?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Gabriella, aren't you the same age?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ms. Gabriella, she's your age, and she don't live at our house. So what's going on? Are you good? You can move. You at the age you can get away. Do what?
I don't have any money to move out. Like, I tried to get an apartment last year, but the rent was too high, and I had to move back in with her.
Hmm.
Okay. Did you go to college, or you got anything like that?
Yeah, I do go to college.
Okay, you're still in college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long you got to go before you finish?
Next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, you're trying to study in that kind of environment. That's crazy, too. You know, I mean, it's just, Like I say, I don't know. I feel for you. I really do. Because, I mean, I couldn't deal with her. Me and her be having it out every day. But, you know, you can't really have it out with her too much in her own house. You know, it's better to, you know, you want to have it out, go to your house.
Yeah.
So, like I said, is there anything else you'd like to add to the conversation with Gabriella before we move on?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, that's no problem. All right, Ms. Gabriella. Yeah, that's crazy right there. You know, somebody just cussing their kids out. You know, I see that stuff a lot.
Mm-hmm.
More so these days than ever. Like I say, you have these, you know, like a lot of times these hood rats. That's why I can't stand hood rats. And y'all be talking about, oh, he talking about hood rats again. Yeah, because I can't stand them females. I see a little kid that's doing what kids do. You know, and they're like, you know, sit your little so-and-so down and you getting on my effing nerves. And like, seriously, in the store in front of everybody and everybody looking. Like, somebody need to pull a bell off and beat her with it. Not the child.
I mean, that's the thing is people need to understand that disciplining your child doesn't mean that you have to sit there and beat them until they leave marks or curse them out. I mean, there is so many different ways of disciplining your child because if you're really good at it and you know, I mean, there's certain parents, all they got to do is just give them a certain look and you know you got to straighten up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how my dad is. We could probably, like me and my other siblings, we could probably count the amount of spankings we had on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because our parents kind of, like their form of discipline is different. They don't really like to spank us. Maybe they'll hit us on the hand with like a belt or something. Or they'll take privileges away. But my dad just has a certain look. Like he can shoot like this nasty look at you and you just know you gotta tighten up or else.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel like that's the best way to parent. But then, you know, every child needs something different. But I don't see how cursing your child out is going to benefit the child at all.
I mean, it's, you know, like you said, every child, you know, has his own person, his or her personality. So you can't really parent one way. I mean, you can have a consensus on what you're going to tolerate, but you got to parent each child differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it comes, you know, some children you got to talk to more than the other one. Some of them you have to be more disciplined on them than the other one. But, you know, it should remain the same of talking to that child first. Give the child a chance to fix, you know, what they're doing is wrong. Because, you know, discipline is about teaching. It's not about pain and suffering. I mean, pain and suffering and should be last resort. And it should not be abusive when it happens. Because I'm sorry, you know, you talk about physical abuse, you know, of children and stuff like that. You should be slapping your children all hard upside the face and punching them and kicking them and leaving marks all across their back, their chest, their legs, or breaking bones. Or, no, it's child abuse. You know, and people today got that so misconstrued that what everybody think anytime you use physical discipline is child abuse. That's why these kids are the way they are today, because they take advantage of that portion of it. Because, you know, you back in the day, like I said, I'll get a whipping here and there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, shoot, they'll get me on my hand or hit me on the butt. That's it. They wouldn't do none of those other places, just the hand or the butt. Or maybe the leg, you know, sometime. And shoot, I remember going out there getting a switch, breaking that off the tree. You call any switch whipping, Ms. Gabriella?
Hmm?
You caught it in switch whippings?
It never happened to me, thank goodness. But I've seen other children.
Oh, yeah, it happened to me. I remember that. Go pick a switch off that tree. Oh, man.
I was too sensitive for spanking, so.
Sure, I was like, but see, the thing is, the times that I did get it, I needed it. That's the thing, I needed it. I can't say, oh, they were just hitting me for nothing, because I did do some stuff. And, you know, to my friends that did not get it, or whatever, a lot of them were troublemakers. A lot of them ended up in jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
that's the thing. Because I feel like, I mean, there's so many different styles of parenting. You know, there's some parents, there's some styles of parenting where more parents are more disciplinarian, but then there's also parents that let their kids do whatever they want. And I feel like that's child abuse too, because I've seen parents sit there and let their kids, they'll be still in high school, let them get all the tattoos they want, let them smoke weed, let them stay out all night long, let them bring boys and girls over the house and let them spend the night. And these are people that are like in between the ages of 13 and 17, allowed to do whatever they want to do. And then when they become adults, life is hard because they've never had anybody tell them no. And they don't understand that in the real world, you can't just get whatever you want and have everything your way.
Exactly. I mean, like in this life, like I told my son the other day, I had a conversation with him speaking of that one thing you're talking about. And he was complaining about some things. And I said, son, I said, the only thing you owe in this life is the oxygen that God gives and what you work for. Anything more than that, you got to go get it yourself. Nobody's obligated to do nothing for you. Nothing. I said, I'm not even obligated to do nothing for you if I don't want to. I said, yes, obligated morally, yes. But I said, but there are some dads out there, they don't even do their obligation to their children they're supposed to. I said, so you need to understand, in life, you got to work for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do stuff for yourself. And whenever somebody give you something, I was trying to tell them, you be appreciative, and that's it when you're going to come along to it. Because, you know, I don't want my son growing up with no entitlement, you know, thinking he is owed something. Nobody owe you a doggone thing. And to raise children with that mindset that the world owes them something, to me, is kind of abusive and setting them back. Because you're not preparing, if you don't prepare your children for the real world that they live in, they're like, well, what were you doing all those years? I mean, what, you just keeping them alive? Because I got so many people that do that. They feed their kids any old thing. You let them eat fast food 24/7. Don't never cook them a home meal. If the food don't come from the frozen food, it's from the McDonald's.
You know what? I'm glad you actually brought that up, because I feel like feeding your children crap is child abuse too. Because when I was being, this was a long time ago. I probably had to be about 10 years old at the time. I think I was still in elementary school, 10. Like 9 or 10, whatever. There was a little girl that was, she had gotten her first period, and she probably, well, you know, she was there being babysat too with me, and she had gotten her first period. She was only about 7 years old, and that was just because her mom was feeding her all this processed crap. And I feel like that's child abuse in a way. Like, you need to feed your child nutritious food. If your child is 93 pounds and only 5 years old, and she's starting to develop breasts and, body hair and everything else, it's your fault, because you shouldn't be feeding your child hormone injected meats and all kind of crazy processed food. Like, I've seen people, no lie, I've seen this as a meal. I'm not going to tell you who prepared this meal, but I was the meal was, it was ground beef with nacho cheese sauce, like that cheese sauce that you can get at the store, like the
Velveeta cheese whiz or something like that.
No, it was kind of like dipping sauce, like cheese dipping sauce for nachos or whatever.
Okay.
And that was on top of Doritos, and they had grape soda for their drink, and then for dinner they had ice cream bars, and that was their meal. And then, you know, other times it'll just be hot dogs with ketchup and ramen noodles and Kool-Aid and all kind of crazy stuff. And these children, they were getting big. And they were always throwing up all the time, always getting sick, had no energy, the parents didn't encourage them to play. And, you know, I know that sometimes it is difficult to feed your children when you don't have a lot of money, but at the same time, it's still your responsibility as a parent to still make sure your children eat fruits and vegetables at least.
Well, you know, you're talking about feeding your children costs a lot of money. Actually, it's always cheaper to cook. It's more expensive when you go to the fast food restaurant. Well, no, let me reframe what I was just saying. Actually, due to inflation, the grocery store and the fast food restaurants actually match out, believe it or not. And, well, the only time it don't, unless you have like a big family like I have, you know, if I take all, you know, 5 of these kids, well, about to be 5, and these kids out, you know, I take the other four now. You know, inexpensive meal for us is like over $50. Mm-hmm. You know, so it'd be cheaper to actually cook. But if it's just for me and my wife, oh no, we may pay like about $20, maybe max, maybe $25 between the both of us. And versus, let's say, going to a grocery store and cooking a meal, we'll waste money doing that.
Mm.
You know, I never thought in my life it would be cheaper to actually eat out than it would be to, you know, shop at the grocery store. But, you know, when you have kids, you got to do that. Because these kids eat a lot. They home. That's all they do is eat, sleep, and use the bathroom. That's all they do. So you gotta cook something. You can't just feed them frozen pizza, or like you said, ramen noodles is good. You can't give them that stuff all the time. They say that stuff got wax in it or something like that. So you can't get them.
Yeah, it says it takes like a whole week for your body to get that out of your system. And there's people that, I mean, it's okay to feed the kids junk. Like we in our family, in our house, we have like a snack drawer, and we have like all kinds of good stuff. Like that's why people always love, my friends always love to come over to my house, because they know they can get the Cheetos and ice cream and all that good stuff. But then, you know, we know that we have to eat the stuff in moderation. And our parents made sure that we were active at least. Like, you know, we would go outside and play or whatever. So we weren't sitting around gaining weight. We don't really have any. I think I was probably like the only overweight kid in the house. Mm. Everybody else was active. And so, I mean, I'm not saying that you're a bad parent if you let your kids eat chips and stuff every now and then. But to sit there and have processed food all day long, no. Like, all your kids' foods is all microwave meals and God knows what, grape soda and fried chicken every single meal, no.
Well, see, this is the thing. You know, like, it's sad, too, when you see these kids like that, because one of my daughter's friends came over, and, you know, we had just finished cooking the meal. Well, my wife had it, of course. And, you know, he asked if she wanted some, and that girl was eating, like, she ate before. When I'm like, I say, you was hungry? When last time you ate? Oh, no, I mean, I ate, but eating, you know, frozen food. The mom always buy this girl frozen dinners. She don't cook her nothing. And so this girl get around a home cooked meal, you know, that's what, you know, she enjoyed. Hold on. The person that asked me a question, and said, can we ask questions for the show on this chat? Yes, you can ask questions on the show from the chat. We have no problem answering those questions. So, Mr. Past Dingo. Okay. Anyway, hopefully heard that one. That's not funny, Kyra. Anyway, so, you know, you got to feed, you know, your kids, you know, right, make sure to get out. Like I said, these kids, they get out and exercise. You know, another thing, when I was a kid, we stayed out all day long until the streetlights came on. One time we came in, just to eat something, go right back out. Your friends would even allow you just to stay in the house. And that's why everybody was, you know, much slender back when I was a kid. We didn't have all this stuff that we have today about kids dealing with childhood obesity and juvenile diabetes and all this other stuff. And to me, if you allow your child to get to that point, it is abusive. It is 100% abusive. Because children eat what you feed them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a choice yet. Now, when they get grown or whatever, they got a choice. Hey, you know, nothing you can do. But if you're feeding your kids pizza and hamburgers and french fries and, like you say, grape soda, orange soda, Big Red,
Blue
all the time.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and they're gaining weight, you know, and all this other stuff. Yeah, it's a problem. It's definitely a problem.
But then again, I mean, I don't want to make it a food show, but sometimes it is hard to find nutritious food depending on where you live at. But then that does kind of go back into, you know, being a parent and trying to put your children in the best environment that you possibly can. And I always talk about how, you know, things were hard when my mom was a single mom. It was, you know, we started out in a trailer park, and then my mom bought a house, and then we moved around a lot, and, you know, things weren't always the best. They weren't, but my mom always made sure that even if we weren't living in the best neighborhood ever, at least we didn't have to worry about crime and we didn't have to worry about gang violence and people shooting at us and everything else. I feel like it is child abuse when you sit there and you willingly have children and bring them up in a bad environment because you know they're more than certain to fail. Like, I mean, I know that sometimes people do have to move into low-income housing until they can get on their feet. I'm not going to knock somebody for that. But if you allow your children to grow up around gang violence and drug dealers and all kind of crazy stuff going on, that is going to have an effect on them when they get older.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. I definitely agree with that, having an effect on them because, you know, like I said, it's a lot of times too. It's like, you know, with the, you know, you feed the kids and the amount of portions that you give them as well. You know, because our biggest problem here in America that we just really overportion everything. I mean, we you know, these kids are little kids. They're only supposed to be eating like a little bit amount of food. You know, then, you know, the top of all that is that child still wants something different. Some people get mad and cuss the child out for that, and, you know, things to that nature. But the thing is, you know, when it comes to, like I said, and this is something that's pretty bad, and I want to, you know, kind of talk about it a little bit. You know, when these kids are told, you know, all the time that, you know, you look like your mother or you look like your father, and they say all kind of bad stuff about them, that has an effect on them. They really does have an effect on them. Is Gabriel, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I kept hearing something in the background. I said, this girl back here crying.
Oh, I have allergies.
Oh, you got allergies. Oh, okay.
I'm not crying.
That's what my grandpa used to say when he was crying. Is I got allergies.
No, I'm not crying over here.
Okay. But hold on. This person asked, let me see a question. Okay, you feel racist. The person asked a question. The show is about abusive parents. I'm not really going to talk about racism too much on this show. I mean, unless it has something to do with a parent being racist toward a different, you know, child or something like that. That's kind of what we're focusing on with parents today. So racism being another time, maybe later, I don't know, but trying to stick more to other topics. Anyway, you know, to tell a child, you know, this negative stuff about them, and for them to have a complex or tell a child, you know, you too black, or, you know, your nose too wide, or you got, you know,
that's horrible,
big lips, or, you know, because, you know, some people in the black community, because I have to single, you know, us out for that, we do that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about
children.
Yes.
We'll treat, like, the lighter-skinned children better than the darker-skinned children, or the children that have a kinkier hair texture. They'll sit there and get their, like, I don't know if you've ever seen a sheep getting their hair brushed, but that's how they'll sit there and literally yank the comb through their hair if their hair is kinky and tell them how their hair is nappy and they have bad hair and, you know, oh, I can't wait to get older so you can get a perm. I don't have to deal with your hair anymore. And you would tell them how, you know, your African features are ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And children grow up feeling bad about themselves. You know, one good thing that I can say about my mom, she'd always tell me how beautiful I was.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, she always tells me I'm beautiful. And, you know, I used to have low self-esteem problems as a kid because people would pick on me and stuff. But she would always just tell me, you know, whenever you start to feel down, look in the mirror and tell yourself how beautiful you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she taught me to love my, you know, my big lips and nappy hair and all those other things, and tell me how I had a nice skin tone and I shouldn't worry about what people say. But unfortunately, a lot of children don't have that. They have to sit there and say, oh, you know, you black as asphalt and you this and you that. I mean, and then children grow up with having low self-esteem because they're like, oh, well, man, maybe I should start bleaching my skin so I can get treated as nice as my cousins who are lighter than me, or treated like my sister who is, maybe she's biracial.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand when I see black families do that. They'll sit there and treat the biracial or lighter skinned kids better than the darker skinned kids, and they don't realize that is child abuse.
It is. I mean, you making a difference on something they cannot help. I mean, you know, it's that's the worst form, you know, of discrimination to me, is something you can't help. Like, you know, somebody can talk about your weight. You could always exercise and lose that. You get what I'm saying? But when it comes to skin, you can't change that. And unfortunately, you know, it's sad that, especially with a lot of women, especially, like, say, in the black community at least, you know, the darker-skinned sisters, you know, are ridiculed. You know, I mean, but darker-skinned men are too, but we don't really internalize and deal with it as much as, you like, say, the women may deal with it because, you know, how it is, you know, everything, let's say, in the beauty industry, you know, caters to, you know, the dominant and those who look closest to the dominant. And mm-hmm. so, you know, you have your lighter-skinned black women, you know, they of course, may be looking more closer to the dominant, and that's why, you know, it's just a messed up situation. I've seen that all the way around, and, you know, I've seen some of our darker-skinned sisters just be just highly, you know, upset, having a chip on their shoulder, and people don't understand why they're so upset or whatever, but sometimes that's the way they deal with, you know, being rejected and ridiculed, and a lot of times that stuff, like I say, come from their family as well. I mean, because, you know, the whole time, you know, the little girl being told, oh, why you not, you know, why you ain't light enough, and why you don't light as your sister, or, you know, why can't you be, you know, have colored eyes like your cousin, and, you know, I mean, it's just, it's not good. I mean, it plays on the child's psyche. Then these children go to school, and that doesn't make it no better.
Mm-hmm.
But then these kids that come out of these homes that's teaching children differences of people's color and being racist and all this other stuff that do happen with these kids. Trust me, all this stuff I'm talking about, I have seen it with these kids in these schools. You know, they'll be saying N-words and everything else to,
mm-hmm.
you know, to your children. Well, who do they learn that stuff from? They learn that from the parents, teaching them to have racial hatred for other people that haven't done anything wrong to them.
Mm-hmm. That is child abuse because, I mean, I don't want to sit there and talk about pop culture, but there was a pop star that made a video talking about how talking about one less lonely.
Oh, Justin Bieber. Oh, Lord.
I mean, that is child abuse. They're not even in the U.S. They're living in Canada talking about black people. But, I mean, I feel like racism is child abuse, too. If you teach your child to hate somebody for no reason, and it's racism all across the board. I don't care if you black, white, Asian, whatever. You should not teach your child to automatically hate a black person or to hate a white person. Like, if you are a non-black family, it is abusive to sit there and you see a group of black guys walking down the walking close to your car, and you say, everybody lock your doors, you know? Or if you, I mean, certain things, it's just like, that's not right. Or you know, a black kid be like, oh, look at them white people, you know. That kind of stuff, no. That is child abuse. And then you're going to have, and the child is going to sit there and go to school and repeat that mess.
Yep, and then you get the phone, then they'll get a phone call, and they say, hey, your child said this. I don't know where they got that from. Like, they got that mess from you, fool. Don't be sitting up here trying to lie to them people. Like you're such a good parent. And you don't do nothing wrong at all. You know, you teach your kids the right way. Now, let me address something. Callers that's on the line right now, if you want to speak, press 1. That way I know you want to speak. Anything more than that, I think you're just listening. Yeah, you know, like I say, I've dealt with that. Because one of them one time had called my daughter a nigger, and I went up to the school and I said, listen, I know that's a child. He learned that from somewhere. He didn't just come up with that on his own. And like I said, I will address that type of stuff. And, of course, you know, when the schools start calling, people like that don't like to be exposed. They don't like people to know they really that way. And because it does really make them look bad. So, you know, it is abusive to teach children that. Just like it's abusive to make children think it's okay to be around drugs and alcohol and all this other stuff that some people just allow. To, you know, they ain't got people that'll let their kid drink beer here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Little kids, they think it's funny.
They'll have them smoke weed and think it's cute.
Yeah.
And sit there and record it and put it on the internet. See, I feel like, I don't know if you saw the video that I posted on Facebook, but there was a little girl sitting there. I put it on Instagram too, but I took it down. A little girl was sitting there. There was little boy standing on the top of the little, you know how there's that little pole thing at the playground?
Mm-hmm.
Little boys are sitting there cheering her on. she got on the pole, swung around, and did like this stripper move and landed on the ground and did it hit a split.
Oh, wow. Yep.
And it just, it made me sick because I was like, oh, she probably learned it from home. Well, how would you at probably 6-7 years old know how to do hit, swing around a pole and hit a split like that? Unless you learned it from somewhere.
Oh,
probably some she was taught at home, like it was cute.
Yeah, she has, and see, it lines up with this question I'm asked here on Ustream. It said, how do you feel about the role of child protective services in the life of abused children? Do you think it's an effective method, or is there a better choice? And let's say a child like that. Somebody see a child like that doing some old, look like stripper moves, and somebody say, you know what, child protective services, you need to investigate them people because they something not right with them. Let's say they show up, they see the house messed up, they see all kind of wrong stuff with this child, and they take the child. You know, a lot of times child protective services does not get a good, you know, rap at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, you know, the things that has happened, you know, with them. And that's you know, also, like I said, you know, child protective services is supposed to be what they say. You know, child protective services. So you're hearing child, you know, what's one story I did a long time ago. Well, a dad had, you know, got caught smoking weed, and they took the child. And mm-hmm. they put the child in child protective services, and then 8 months later, the child was beaten literally to death. You know, being in their, being in some, you know, foster home that the child protective services put the child in.
Mm.
You know, we hear a lot of stories like this of children, you know, getting raped or, you know, molested or whatever. In some of these homes, you know, that they're supposed to be, you know, affiliated with child protective services. So, you know, this abuse, you know, it's just widespread across this country. And, you know, what, you know, socially, what is our responsibility, you know, when we see or hear abuse? Do you, Ms. Gabrielle, do you feel that when you see abuse, you can report it immediately?
So, I mean, sometimes it's hard to report abuse if you don't really, like, if you don't know these people's names or where they live. Like, some, like if you're out in public and you see someone getting, somebody abusing their child, it's not like, I mean, sometimes you want to step in, but they can't, what power do you really have? Like, can you just call, it's not like you can just call Child Protective Services and be like, oh, there's a mom beating her child at Walmart. Can you come up here?
Shoot, I don't know about that because, shoot, in this day and time, you know, you film somebody getting a building, whipping their kid, and put it up on the internet, they're going to find them and send them right to jail. They don't put it. You know how many times when people have went to jail behind internet videos, whipping their kid? Like, for example, you remember the dad, I mean, even though that was kind of extreme, the dad with the girls that was twerking on Facebook, and you
yeah.
remember that video? Now, it didn't even show his face. But yet he was recorded, but, you know, the mom still turned him in, too. But, you know, everybody found out about it because it was posted to the internet. And I wonder what happened to that dad that whipped the daughter being gone for a few days. Remember that video?
Yeah.
Did you hear anything about him getting arrested or whatever?
I didn't hear anything because I didn't really get on that story. But, I mean, I think, well, then every situation is different, though. Because sometimes they'll sit there and say, well, you know, he was justified because he didn't know where his daughter was going. And I think, are you talking about the video where the girl came back dressed in like she probably had been out prostituting or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Then maybe, like, some people probably would just say, oh, well, he should have done that. I would have done it to my daughter, too, if she was gone for days. So, I mean, sometimes, like, every situation is kind of is viewed differently in that case.
Yeah, everything, you know, like I said, with children, everything is a case-by-case basis. And, you know, too, that situation, I don't know how many times they told her to stay your behind at home.
Mm-hmm.
And she's wanting to do what she wants to do. You know how it is. These kids, they get to a point that they just want to start doing what they want to do. They're thinking they're grown.
Hmm.
And, you know, like I said, and they think you know, they could do the pay the bills and everything else, and you don't pay nothing here. Now, you know, I was looking at some stuff about verbal abuse and everything, and they were talking about that a lot of people don't even realize what is verbal abuse. And they were saying, you know, name-calling, belittling, swearing, and insulting is verbal abuse. Indirect criticism, such as disparaging your child to your spouse, also hurts. Just because you're not berating your child directly doesn't mean he doesn't hear it or feel the sting. Rejecting or threatening with abandonment. Like saying, I wish you were never born. I should put you up for adoption. This kind of verbal abuse creates a sense that your child isn't wanted, you know, in the family. Now, you know, let me stop right there. I'm going to bring this up. There's some real stuff right here. I had my son. He was over the other day. And my son was telling me that, you know, when he does something, you know, his mom always says, I'm going to send you to live with your dad every time he does something wrong. You know, and his sister always say, yeah, you know, you need to go live with dad, you know, because it's getting on my nerves. And this is things that my son is hearing. And, you know, he's telling me about this. And I say, you know what? That's going to end up happening. I promise you that. I said, because, I got something that works for that. I said, because I'm not talking no more. You know, most people would have been like, you know, you don't talk to my child and say certain things. Well, you not tell anybody. If you hear me arguing with you, that's a good thing because I'm trying to dialogue with you. If you hear me get to the point I'm quiet, I'm not saying much to you, I'm already plotting now, you know, what I'm going to do. Because, you know, that got on my nerves. And, you know, just even read this, you know, it's just saying something to me, you know, a little bit more when I read this about, you know, threatening with abandonment. I mean, I would never tell my child, oh, I'm going to send you to live with your mama if they live here because they're doing something wrong. Be a parent. Parent your child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but hold on, we got a call here that came through. Error code 267, you're on the show.
Good evening. Is this advice?
This is him.
Hi. I'm a subscriber of yours. I go under the name Anissa Hip Hop Forever. I've been watching you since 2012. And I have to say I like some of your views, but I'm a woman, so it's a little different. And I read your question on Facebook, and it's absolute abuse to let your child do what they want to do. Absolutely. I'm not for a lot of this nonsense. I never was the baby mama, baby daddy nonsense. When I was 14 and that dumb rap song came out, I knew it was wrong then. I'm about to be 34, and I know it's wrong now. And I think letting your child do what they want to do shows you are a shitty parent. Excuse my language. I'm an unmarried black woman. I have aspirations to be. I don't feel white women, Hispanic women, or any other woman is any better than a black woman. I think we've been ran down over the years due to drug abuse and different things. And we could come back, but it's going to take getting some of these lame niggas out of the community. And their kids, too. They can take their goddamn kids, too, because they're going to be hellions in the next 10 years. They're hellions now, excuse me. So, yes, I think it's absolute abuse to let your kid do what they want to do.
I agree with that 100%, because like any child in my house, you're not going to do what you want to do because you don't pay no bills here. Now, if you think you're going to do what you want to do here, then you need to go get your own house. That's my first thing to say. Listen, you get 18, you can go. I mean, you do what you want to do, because if I pay bills, I keep a roof over your head, clothe you, feed you. Oh, no. No. You're going to do what you're told, because I sure couldn't do that, you know, in my household.
Well, I think a lot of the problem is also with black kids particularly. Black young kids are put in a position of adulthood way before they should be. I don't blame a lot of these children, and I pray a lot to keep my heart where it is so I can help do well, because I'm going to be debuting on YouTube very soon. But I blame a lot of the elder blacks, and I blame a lot of these people around our age. I think you're somewhere in your latter 30s. I'm in my early 30s. They give these people a pat on the head.
How old you said you were?
I'm 33. I'll be 34 on August 2nd.
Okay, I'm 35.
So we're around the same age, and I blame a lot of these parents. I understand we're the kids of the crack era, and I understand that drug killed a lot of our foundations and whatnot, but that time has since passed. And it's time for people born in the latter 70s, 80s, and 90s, as I do things by generation, to grow up. It's almost like they're having these children to deliberately mess them up in the future. And I can promise you, as a soon-to-be Republican and whatnot, as this country's going, it's not going to work out for these people. And I recently told someone, I never use the expression, I do me, because I realize being an African-American, when you do me, you're doing us. And I'm tired of seeing these people get commended, like getting pregnant or going to jail is something to have your chest poked out about. Actually, I had to keep going to YouTube U, and I watch, I don't want to mention his name on your show, but he's fairly big, and he's kind of arrogant, and I think you know who I'm referring to.
Yeah, I already
a couple
know.
Other
so when
people.
You said you didn't want to mention him on my show, I already know who you're talking about.
Well, I won't mention him on your show, not to say I disagree with all his views, but where I disagree with all of you is you're not women. You're not women, so you won't understand certain things, and I think he unfairly blames the black woman without blaming the black man equally, even if you go back with the welfare state and whatnot.
Well, let's back up, because I can't speak about, you know, your issues and views about that individual. But let's say, tell me, I want to know about me. What points you don't agree with me on? Because I like when people say I don't agree with you, and I like to hear their point of view, because you may be right about something I need to take a look into. So what points do you feel that you disagree with me about?
Well, I feel as though it's been said that you're not married to a black woman. And for me, I understand your position, because as the days go on, I don't know if my husband's going to be a black man.
Let's go ahead and answer that. I think I've addressed that before. My wife's Latina.
Okay. Well, my thing is, I feel as a woman, I'm listening mm-hmm. to, since 2012, all these
okay.
brothers talk about the problems in the community and all this, but part of the problem is when I see these men with other races of women, if it's love, fine. But a lot of the times, from what I hear and see, it's because they're better women and all this other stuff. Now, you take a lot of the same brothers, and their mission, it seems, is to break down black women. I've had men tell me, I can break you down, blah, blah, blah. But you'll build them up.
I said, I can't speak for those brothers, but I'm talking about me. Have you heard me do any video to state that other races of women are so much better than black women?
In all fairness, no.
Okay,
because
I won't say that.
You
know why I won't say
approach.
That? You know why I won't say that? Because women are women at the end of the day. Nobody's better than anybody. What makes you different than the other one is just who you are as a person. I mean,
okay.
it's not really a color thing if somebody's good or bad. It's just a people thing. So I won't do that.
You had posted on Facebook the other day about that kid getting their mouth duct taped. And I had commented on your page under my real name. And I said, well, who's looking out for the teachers? Maybe we should start doing that instead of condemning them. And you were like, you had wrote something to the effect of, we're going on with people these days, blah, 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 blah. My whole thing with that story
you know why?
Was,
let me answer that. My response to that,
mm-hmm.
This is the thing. I have an issue, and maybe you can pay attention to the theme of my channel. Most of my videos, I expose teachers that's doing outlandish things, or that's wrong against children. Everybody always want to say men was doing that. And every week you have women doing this, every single week. And it's like, I'm not making this stuff up. It's in the news. It is what it is on that. And what I don't like about it is, be fair, if you're going to penalize a man for that, penalize the women for the same thing. That's what I say. And nobody, and you cannot say, because you can go back and look at all my videos library and see, I don't just sit up here and just single out black women. I wasn't talking about that.
I was talking about this one story and the kids it was
a
little girl, I think.
In somebody's mouth. Okay.
Well,
you talking about
and my thing is, it was a black kid in that story.
Okay.
And the thing is, with a lot of these kids in these schools, I've been told by different schools in the city I live in, and these are black schools, you don't want to teach here, because these kids this and that and the third thing. My point was that I'm not talking about sexual abuse, because you're absolutely right. You do a lot of stories about that, and I agree with you. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. But when it comes to stories like that, and I'm looking at the picture of this little grimace, gimme, gimme, fat kid who probably has a smart mouth, And if the teacher got to that point, we never keep in mind in this society, especially black society, that a lot of these teachers are laid off. They're getting laid off. They can't get jobs out of college. Budget cuts. The city I live in, they're damn near bankrupt with their school. And every time one of these teachers snap, it's usually because the parents aren't backing them up. These kids have atrocious mouths, And to boot, they got technology in the classroom. They don't pay attention. They're chock full of sugar. And you're from Texas, and you know Texas has had obesity, the country has, but Texas has had the top five obese cities for the last almost decade. And obesity plays a role in it because they're chock full of sugar. And like I said, and you know like I do, a lot of these young black kids have terrible mouths. So if the teacher got to that point, maybe we should be looking at what's going on as far as these parents are concerned and what's going on in these homes. Now, sexual abuse, I agree with you. I like Raj and your stories about that because I agree with you. If you're a 35-year-old woman sleeping with a 16-year-old boy, you should go to prison. But I'm not talking about the sexual abuse. I'm talking about these stories that get turned into something.
Well, let's address that. Because like I said, I'm a parent. And if, you know, I was called that my child was had duct tape on their mouth by a teacher, I'll be upset for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's a better way to handle that. Send they behind out a class, write a referral. It's many, you know, levels of discipline they could have done to take care of my child. But see, I'm a little different. If they call me to go up there, I'm going to go up there and see. And I agree with what you're saying. Some parents won't do crap. They won't. They won't come up there for nothing. I've seen them, this child is 100% wrong, and they come up there cussing and fussing. Why you told my child this? Why you did that? But, you know, as a educator and you have to be professional, you can't do things like that because you can't get yourself arrested. And I'm not about to. I always said I ain't about to go to jail for these kids. I wouldn't do it. but you know, it's just the thing. I get what you're saying. You said, but I need to correct you on something too. It's not just the black kids with these dirty mouths. It's all of them. It don't matter the race. It's all of them got a dirty mouth and say that outlandish stuff, racist stuff, and all this other stuff. And it comes from those homes. That's where it comes from. Maybe some of the influence with those children.
I agree with you. It's that American society's in the toilet right now with the youth. But where I'm coming from is like I like to tell people, there's only 30 million of us, give or take, and our community is filled with such insanity. There's no other word for it. And the way black men are killing each other, the way black women are reproducing these children, I call it breeding because that's what it is, we're in a worse spot than any other ethnic group in this country, which makes no sense. So for me,
It makes plenty of sense. It does make sense. And I'm explaining to you why. Prior to the breakdown of the black family, we didn't have these problems. When you had a mother and father in the home, it was a patriarchal home. You know, the women respected the man, the man respected the woman. They can have some of the old people had 15, 20 kids, and they didn't break up. It wasn't no problem. They worked together. A lot of times, the man worked by himself, and the mom stayed home and took care of all those kids on one income, and they did whatever they had to do to make it. I've known plenty of people like this. Okay, still living today. And we didn't have no shooting each other on the street stuff as the norm or robbing each other, doing all that. Like the black man, like I said, the black man has plenty of problems. And one of his biggest problems is ego. He has an ego out of this world.
Agreed.
And that's what gets him in trouble. That's what gets us in trouble is we have too much ego for our own good. You know, you turn that ego into something positive, that's great. A lot of times it's turned, you know, into negative. And my thing is, I can care less about an ego. I want to make sure that my children are proud of me as a father. My wife is proud of me, you know, as a husband. Things like that. That's what I care about. I don't care about, you know, insignificant things about some stupid shoes or somebody talking about me, and I got to make sure I get one up on them because they're talking about me. I mean, we have to set forth an example for our children as well because, you know, you talk about the black-on-black crime. And, you know, I've been dabbling and weighing in my head to get involved with that topic. Because once I go head first in that topic like I do with the teachers and the police, I mean, I'm going to ruffle a lot of feathers because it's sickening. It is sickening. I mean, you're right. Black males are killing each other all day long. And but usually, we talk about abusive parents. A lot of those boys came out of abusive households. Their father wasn't there. That's abusive. The mother, a lot of times, blamed them, you know, and let them stay in environments that's not good. And that's abusive, too. So they just a whole powder keg of abuse. And they go in somewhere where they feel they can be accepted and live some sort of life. And, they, of course, that's the wrong life. And a lot of our children, elderly people, and just innocent people are suffering. I mean, it's unreal. They talk about Chicago all day long. But you can talk about the murders here in Houston. They got murders here, too. They got murders everywhere.
Well, in Black America, murder has become too accepted, and I agree with that. But where I disagree in this community is as a person who's very vocal. I'm not getting paid for it like you are, not yet, because I have a degree to finish.
Hold on. Let me address that too. What you just said.
I hope you're getting paid.
Why everybody worried about pay? That's how I keep trying to. Because some people tell me that I know you're getting paid. Like, what is it by pay?
Wait a minute. Wait, hold on. Let me finish. Let me say this. Excuse me. My first target is to be noted, not to get paid. But getting your money and your life together is very important as you get older. I live by a motto. By 40, I don't want to have to go through financial hardships because I've been through them. I'm going through them now, matter of fact. But you got to grow up, and finance is a part of that. I don't want to be one of these 40-year-old grandparents that's going to be in debt for the rest of their lives, raising kids for the rest of their lives. I don't want that to be my life. And in order to help the community, as Jay-Z said on one of his classic songs, I can't help them if I'm one of them. And I also feel like Madam C.J. Walker, it's not just me I'm worried about. I want to be able to employ some Black women in the community to get their heads halfway back right, because employment and some things are bigger than our community, absolutely. But getting your money together, I'm all for a brother or a sister that has their finances and things together. I'm not for Negroes who do anything for money, because like my man Puff said, that's short money. A person like you, you work hard. It's like you said on your videos. You invest in your wife's cake baking business. Yes, I've been watching your videos for years now. Her cake baking business. You do things that'll bring money into your household, and there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with money in our people is, like you said, that ego and that vanity, and misappropriating the resources that you do have. And the only thing I know is I'm a 1980 baby. I don't want to be struggling at 40 years old. Mm-hmm. And I certainly hope you get paid, because you do a lot of good work. See, I'm a little more of a morbid person. I don't feel like I made it until I get my first death threat. And I'm looking forward to it. Because when
let me tell you something about that. I mean, I get a few of them, but let me tell you something about that. We need, and I've been saying this, I've been like praying for this. We need a Black woman that's going to come out the gate with razors coming out of her mouth, that can just really go at the wrongness with the sisters. Because I think only sisters can correct the sisters, and brothers should be able to correct the brothers. That's
how
I feel. You know, but every time I see a Black woman come out and do that, she gets attacked so much. She gets attacked so much, she can't deal with it.
Well, I've been dealing with it for a lifetime there. Since I was in school and coming up, I've been white. I've been told since I was 17 years old about having babies and all this other stuff. See, where I'm different than a lot of these Black people out here, my mother got killed very young in the 90s, and I have my father left. And the thing is, my mother was an old-school Black woman, a real Black woman, and she didn't get caught up in the crack era either. Only thing she wanted her girls to do was finish school and not have children too young, and that's not asking too much. And I'll be damned. I look at it like this. I see how weak these sisters are. That's why they're always clucking like chickens in a huddle, because you're weak. only I can stand by myself. You've said that, and a couple other YouTubers said that, and I fully agree with you, and I want to be that black woman. It's a thing about resource, and I live in a time where a lot of people, their parents, be them in their 30s or 40s, are still helping them. I don't have that, so it takes me a little longer to get to where I'm going. But I fully agree with you, and matter of fact, the next place I was coming to is Texas, because I like Texas from what I know about it. I like some of their laws, and I like some of the way that sector of the country thinks, and it wouldn't be the U.S. without you guys. But I fully agree with you, because when you all say certain things, you're down in the black woman, you're this, you're that, you're not a man, you're gay, you're blah, blah, blah. But like I posted on YouTube, I'm a black woman. You can't call me racist. And I'm not one of these brothers. You can't say I ain't shit or this and that because I'm walking out here living this every day like you are. And like I said, now, one of the reasons that other YouTuber, even though there's validity in some of the things he says, I don't agree with every, because you can't just put all the blame on black women without, especially in the last 40 years, living through the heroin epidemic and the crack epidemic. The crack epidemic especially changed our women. As one old man told me, it killed their motherly instinct, and this was passed on to the people our age. And we got to get these sisters' minds back right. And it doesn't help when we're in a world of mass media telling them that they're nothing but their hair and their ass, literally nothing but their hair and their ass. And they believe this. And it's like you said, pops ain't there no more. I can't even imagine having a house without a father there, not just for the kids, because it's like I tell people. The father's there for the kids, don't get me wrong. But the father's also there to cool the woman out and vice versa, because the testosterone and estrogen is supposed to balance to keep the house on a foundation. And then the kids you raise together. And like I said, it's insanity. And one of the reasons I gravitated toward YouTube and your channel and a couple others, because I got tired of feeling like I'm crazy. And I would love to see more black women speak out, but people... I won't call out her name either, but there's one young lady who's done some videos, and she gets a lot of criticism for them, and she can't articulate herself that well, but she's not wrong about everything. Because if you're going to blame the black woman, the black man has to take some responsibility for this shit. If you say black women gave up the man for welfare, which a lot of them did, it didn't take much for the black man to walk away. And the first wave of single mothers through the 80s,
Let me add something to you. You know, I got a lot of flack for the series about why black men are the laughingstock of America, and you know, I'm hard on black men, because I feel black men should not be begging a black woman to please let me have my place in leadership. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be begging nothing. And I always tell a guy, if a woman don't allow you to be the alpha male you're supposed to be, well, you don't fool with her and get you one that wants you to lead and want you to do what's right. Because the problem is we have too many beta males within our group right now. Too many. They're emotional. God. They feminized. They took it on just the personality of a woman. And you can tell that. But a lot of these guys aren't bad guys. And a lot of these guys, you know, sometimes talk to me and try to learn, you know, different things so that can come out of them. It's in them to do it. He's got to get around the right brothers where that can come out of them, because this beta male stuff is just not working.
Another side to that, and the women have been they're too masculine. And like I've told a lot of sisters, there's nothing wrong with being soft and pretty. There's nothing wrong with not fighting. We're not supposed to be heading these households, and a lot of them got put in the position or put themselves in the position, and that's why they're so masculine and whatnot. And that has to change. I can't stand to hear a black woman say, I don't need no man. Yes, you do. We're human. We absolutely need our men. Or a man.
Well, the thing is, that's also passed down to the children. And, you know, when a child hears that, you know, to say you don't need a man, and you're telling that child not to respect their father. You know,
I agree.
And, you know, when a child doesn't respect their parent, and he's wilding out, you know, you kind of abusing them to a point, too. And then you creating a cycle that's constantly going on in the community saying, I don't need a man, I don't need a man, I don't need... You know, the thing is, what you speak out of your mouth is going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, because subconsciously you will make choices to make that happen. So every woman that always says she don't need a man, she's going to do things to make sure that happens when she don't have a man. And any woman that say, I need a man, I want a good man, and keep speaking those things, she's going to eventually get it because she's going to make those choices to get it. Because I sure don't see woman that always says she don't need a man with this great guy. And if she does get hit with him, you don't last. If
you get a man, he's just a complete loser and someone who she might as well be by herself. Because I've noticed that whenever a woman will grow up and raise her daughter and say, you don't need a man, you don't need a man for nothing. What you need to do is go to college, get yourself a degree, get a good job so you don't need to be up under an old man and blah, blah, blah. That kind of behavior, man, it leaves a woman to either being spending her life in and out of bad relationships, or if she finally does find somebody, it's just some bum who's going to sit around on the couch all day eating chips and watching TV and not really contributing anything to the household except for what he can do in the bedroom, and that's it. And it is child abuse because you're setting your daughter up for failure.
And your sons as well.
Your sons as well, because it's teaching them, because what effect would it have if you are sitting in the other room and you overhear your mother talking about, oh, men ain't no good, your dad wasn't shit, you're not going to be shit, you're terrible, you're this, you're that, and you hear all these negative things about men, what are you going to think about yourself as a little black boy?
Well, I think college is another big issue in our community. A lot of people, it seems as though if you say, my kids went to college or my kid's in college, like that's the end all. Because I have a beef with a lot of black celebrities and our collegiate blacks. Because if you're supposed to be the best that we have to offer, there's no excuse why so many collegiate black women are still single mothers. And that college degree is like the story you posted about that guy in Chicago who blew his mother's head off, the one who owned the hair salon. And she had a little bit of money. But money can't buy a father. Money, I have a few friends that are collegiate, and they're single mothers. And that money still doesn't take away the want for the dad in the house. It just doesn't do it. And college is kind of, to me, like a scapegoat. And I'm glad I'm back in a school setting at this time, because the college campus has definitely changed, just like everything else in the black community. When I go to classes and whatnot during the year, a lot of black kids don't even take the coursework seriously. They're rude to the professors. And they have that whole entitlement, I can do what I want, and you shouldn't say anything. And these are college professors, not high school teachers. Mm-hmm. And this is a problem. This is a big problem because college doesn't guarantee you anything, especially in these days, because a lot of these people, be them white, black, Asian, or whatever, with their college degrees are going to be living with their parents for the next few years because they don't have the drive, determination, the passion. They just got the student loans to finish a degree. And we're one of the most educated generations this world's ever seen. If you were born in the latter 70s up until the 90s, there's more degrees in this country than the world has ever seen. And it doesn't explain why a lot of you collegiate black women, you still don't have a husband, not even a man, because I don't like that term. You don't have a husband in the house. And to me, if you have a husband, that shows how smart you are, black woman. Absolutely, mm-hmm. How smart you are. Because, like I said, I just get tired of the tomfoolery I see going on out here. And, no, these heifers don't scare me because at the end of the day, they're still human, too, and they're not wrong on everything. They're not. And black women in the last few decades have taken a licking, a really bad one. And there's ways to get through to them, but I think the people like advised and the young lady on the line, we just got to be more forthcoming, like the great Ronald Reagan. He was a great speaker. Didn't say policy, just a speaker. And he knew how to move people. And that's where our people need to be uplifted and moved and stop discounting both sexes to me. Because I hear men say, I don't need no woman. I don't need no woman. I know how to do this. You do need us. You absolutely need us.
It's only been us for 400 years. Let me tell you something about that. Most of those guys that say that, like I say, once again, they're probably dealing with some things. And, maybe some female rejected them on some simple BS stuff. And that goes on a lot, too, nobody wants to talk about that, get mad when black men say that. But, how the decent guys aren't wanted. And then, for instance, you'll have like that prom photo I posted up on my Facebook page and did the video about. All the females mad about this photo and everything. And I was discussing this with Miss Gabriella before the show. All upset, outraged and everything. And I'm like, but yeah, they just went to prom. But yet when Eve got married, everybody's celebrating it. Nobody calling her a sellout. I said, see, that type of stuff.
I actually commend Eve. I'm in her city now.
I don't have no issue with Eve. Eve, that's her life. That's her business. I have no issue. I really don't. But I'm just saying the people, I'm going to say the women's reaction to it. But yet when they saw that photo, they was calling all those boys sellouts as all they do is go get them a white woman. And they're like some kids, some high school kids.
They probably not even going to marry these girls. So I don't know what the big fuss is. And because one thing I do notice in our community is it's perfectly fine. If a black woman marries a white man, she gets nothing but praise and accolades. Oh, you done got yourself a good man.
Hey, you remember that movie they did about that called Something New with Sanaa Lathan?
Mm-hmm.
But let that reverse.
Let it be a black man with a white woman talking about something.
I can't say that I agree with you guys. I can't say that because I've heard things like that before. And the thing is with black women and white men, a couple things. Number one, white men don't swim in the black man's sewer. So if a white man's dealing with a black woman, usually she has her thing together. She can hold a conversation. She has her own hair out more times than not. She has a figure and things of that nature. And when it comes to a lot of white men, from my experiences and other women I've talked to, white men, a lot of them like the pleasure of a black woman or even a Latino woman or whatever, but they're not going to marry them 9 times out of 10. Whereas a black man, that's not completely true. They get their props and shit, too, when it comes to these white women. And once these black men get their money, especially, don't let them get some coins in the bank, because those same sisters you were dealing with when you ain't have anything, that's when they become ghetto. That's when they're not good enough because their hair isn't long enough or their tits aren't big enough. So to me, it cuts both ways. And at least with black men, they don't have to keep the shit no secret. When I dated a white guy one time. Now, mind you, I've been called white my whole life by black boys and men, and still to this day. Now, when I was dating this Russian kid, he wasn't even American white. He was Russian. If looks could kill. Now, let me get this straight, black man. You don't want me, and I've been told mean things by black men as an adult woman and heard them say mean shit to black women. It's almost like they pick on black women because they can't pick on any other men out here because they handle their business better. You don't want me, but you don't want no one else to have me, and that's messed up. That's very messed up. But when it comes to that white woman, you can parade her around like she is a trophy, even if she's white trash Becky Sue. You can parade her around, and you still get, oh, yeah, white women are better than black women. They know how to act, and they'll hold you down, and this and that third. So, like I said, to me, when I didn't see the prom picture. I might have just gazed at it. A lot of black women, I think they do that because they're so used to seeing it, and they get tired of feeling like white women are better.
But
I
kept saying this, and they were arguing me about this. You know, out of the black men that did get married from the 2010 census, I'm sorry, 89% of them married black women. So only 9% of them married white women. So I don't get we so used to seeing it, because most of them are marrying black women. I don't understand what's the argument.
Well, I know of statistics, black women aren't getting married all that much. And I saw
they are the least. I'm gonna say they are the least to marry interracially. They are, and they
married
don't get
at
married
at all.
Y'all married at all? But see, is that
at all?
Yeah, but yet black men, if they choose to get married, they do. So you know, you need to figure out why. And it's not what people don't understand. It has nothing to do with the looks at all. Because come on, a lot of everybody's copying the black woman look all over the place. I know you see, and you probably saw a lot of black women feel some kind of way about that. You know, that everything about the black woman, now everybody want to copy and get it surgically done to look like, you know, black women, okay? But yet, you saying black women not getting married. It has nothing to do with the looks. It has something to do with the way a lot of girls are raised, and it goes back to what we were discussing earlier, these abusive households, and telling them you don't need a man, and telling this little girl to overrun a man, and it's your money, and you don't let no man tell you what to do and all this other stuff. And that's why they can't really be in a relationship with a man. And a man gets to a point and say, you know what, I don't want to deal with that. Some chick with an attitude. Some chick that would not allow me to run my own household. To say, oh, it's my money. I make more money than you. And some women who make more money than the man, they'll start dehumanizing this guy or emasculating this guy. And, you know, a man's, what I want to say, the way he feels about himself as a man, a woman could really make you feel low. She can, the way she talks to you. And some of these women do this to these men. That's why they buy themselves. It's not having nothing to do with looks. It really don't.
Well, as a woman, I kind of feel differently. And some things absolutely have to do with looks. And, yeah, they may be mimicking us, but we're in a very rare time because more so than what I've ever seen in the history I know, and I think every American should know at least the last 100 years of history in this country, and that's being light. But from what I know, from when I look at Tamar and all these women, they and their buffoonery to the front, they're getting plastic surgery to mimic their European counterparts all the time, all the time. Fake boobs, all this stuff that black women wouldn't have dreamed of doing 30, 40 years ago. The weave, they don't take the weave off. Matter of fact, I've heard young black girls in Philly, it's real wild because they wear weave real young, and I'm not with that shit because if you're a black woman, you know weave gives you this feeling that I can't really put into words. And you can see it on their young women out here. And I've heard them, young black women say they don't feel pretty without a weave. And
well, you know what?
I
don't know if you saw this video. I said it a long time ago in a video, and some black women got mad at me, but that's the way I could describe it. Say some black women feel like they got superpowers when they had it on.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
And I don't think that you're – that's the thing. I don't feel like your confidence should come from a hair weave. But the thing is, to dial it back to the child abuse, sometimes – and we talked about this earlier on the show – sometimes black girls feel that their own – you know, what they were born with naturally is ugly. They're told, oh, look at your dark skin, you're ugly. Look at your big lips. Look at your nose. Look at your hair. You know, your eyes. Everything about you is ugly. And so as soon as they get the chance to change something about it, they will. And they don't feel beautiful without it. There's some girls that can't even walk out the house. Like, I've seen girls that would rather walk out the house with a scarf or walk out the house with a ball cap on because they don't want the world to see their hair because they're so embarrassed. You know, myself, yes, I wear weave because I'm selling it, but at the same time, I feel just as beautiful with my natural hair as without it, and that goes back to good parenting because you should teach your child that you're beautiful without the weave.
But it's hard to teach that if you're always wearing it. I just made a new rule in my life because Philly does weave like I've never seen before, and I've watched video clips of women out in Houston and Atlanta have gotten to the point where they still weave. Listen here, black woman, while these Koreans are making $11 billion off of you every year off your hair and your communities are falling by the wayside, I believe children do what they see, not what they're told. I can tell my daughter all day how beautiful her hair is, but if she never sees me with my hair, that's an oxymoron because she's looking at this horse hair down my back. And meanwhile, I'm telling her how beautiful her hair is. And I also notice most of the time when the teasing comes in about hair, unfortunately, it's black boys or black men because I went to school as a little girl with all white kids. I was in a predominantly white school as a child. And the white girls used to say things about my hair, which kills me now because now over the years they love the cornrows and all that stuff. But the white boys always like my hair. And I've heard white men say to little black girls, I love your hair. I love your hair. Usually it's black men who are talking. Matter of fact, one night I was at work and a black guy, he was being very mean and nasty. He was drunk at work, but it's a long story, but so I'll shorten it. And he made sure to say in front of me, look at her, to a white girl, look at her hair, it's so long and beautiful, as that was a diss to me. And like I told that clown, I'm happy to be nappy all day long. And my new rule is you can't do my hair if you're not wearing your own hair. You cannot do my hair if you're not wearing your own hair because that lets me know in a lot of ways you're not confident. You want to imitate this European or this Peruvian or whoever. And at a time in this country when there is not one economically viable black community, I think it's time black women came up off the weave truck just a little bit. And I like extensions and all that. But what I don't like, if you're out here and you got two or three kids and you're sitting on state, you shouldn't have $200 Remy in your hair. And even if you do have the money for it, don't you think a lot of that money communally could be transferred a lot better than on your hair, on your weave? And meanwhile, these white women laugh at you because the minute you get into, if you have a white girlfriend, and I'm sure sister can attest to this, I know this has happened to you, if you get into an argument with a white girl, the first thing they say is, you wear weave. Hell, you get in an argument with a black guy, the first thing they may say is, you wear weave. That's why you ain't wearing your hair and all this other stuff. And I'm so tired of hair, and I'm tired of not seeing our black women with their hair. And what's going on? If you truly believe you're that beautiful without it, why don't I ever see black hair? Or rarely?
You know, from what a report said recently, that it's been a great decline in buying a perm because more black women are going natural, which is great. I mean, that saves money, for one. But you see them perms, they give them, trying to give them away now because of the natural hair thing that really took off. Like I say, everybody wears hair extensions, but you know, they got a lot of sisters even on YouTube to tell you how to even grow out your hair. It's one sister's on my channel. I'm pretty sure you saw her, a sister with real hair. Her hair is down her back, and it's she ain't done her perm in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, some people.
I mean, there's a lot of black women. There's tons of black women that teach you how to grow long hair, and eventually, I do plan on talking about that on my YouTube channel, how to stop putting perm in your hair and how to make it grow. Because there's a lot of black women, so we are known for having short hair, and it's not because black people's hair can't grow, because if you see people with dreads, they have hair all the way down to the floor. And it's just because we aren't taught to how to take care of our hair properly, and so it just breaks off and comes off, and then
what I've researched about perms, it breaks off due to the, you know, chemical processing. I mean, it has caustic soda in there. You have all kind of corrosive materials in there that will make your hair break off. I mean, like, black people's hair grows the same rate as white people's hair. Ours just have to be in a natural state, like you talk about the dreads. Think about it. You see a woman that's wearing a perm, her hair keep breaking off. She decided to get dreads. It's all, like you say, it's almost to the floor because it's in a natural state. That's why. We're different people. That's what we need to understand. We need to celebrate all our differences no matter what race we are. And, you know, we need to understand that our hair is a certain way and we shouldn't be ashamed of it, and we should just wear it and celebrate it.
Well,
we shouldn't have
I kind of feel we're not at that point, and I wouldn't have such a beef with sisters and their weaves if number one, we were getting the revenue from these things, which I give a lot of sisters hairdressers credit because they're starting to cut them Asians out. And it's hurting their pockets, but not enough, because you can't even go to a black-owned hair store and go to any city anymore. And like I said,
when it comes to hair weave, I actually only support black-owned businesses. The place, the woman that I help this lady sell hair extensions, and she's a black woman. She completely cut out the middleman, and she sells hair all by herself. It's a black-owned business. And so I would like to see more of that. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, everybody, I mean, I know that some people are against hair weaves, but at the same time, I have absolutely no problem when I see a black woman that has a hair salon, has a hair site, and she is selling the hair to black people. I have absolutely no problem with that, because I feel like, you know what, if we are going to wear hair weaves, at least we need to be the ones owning the businesses, and we need to be the ones selling it. We can't sit there and be making other people rich off of our stuff.
And it also goes back to, and let me tell you something, you're talking about hair weave and hair, when it comes to our little girls. It goes back to what we say in the beginning about being abusive parents. To tell a little girl that, oh, I can't wait till you get a little older so I can put a perm in your hair because your hair is difficult. Oh, I can't stand the way your hair is. You need a weave. You need this. You're subconsciously abusing that child and letting that child know something is wrong with you. Like, what? Like the hair is coming out of your head, something's wrong. And we do that, you know, unfortunately, the moms do that early to the little girls, so the little girls already get a complex about their hair way before they before they become women, I'm sorry. That's where it comes from. It comes from the household. I don't really think that a mom should be putting all that mess in their daughter's hair.
Yeah, children don't need to wear hair, and black women don't need to wear, they don't need to wear a perm. My mother decided to go natural, and she stopped putting perm in her hair, and I decided to stop doing it, too. The thing is, I feel like that kind of stuff needs to begin at home. When I do plan on having children, I would never put perm in my daughter's hair, because I want her to have long, beautiful, healthy hair. And if you want to call kinky hair ugly, that's on you. But I feel that, healthy hair is beautiful. And the thing is that in our community, we don't have – it's very rare that you would see a black family member tell a girl with some Afro puffs in her hair that her hair is beautiful and soft and it's
cute. Oh, sure. I would say that. I like Afro puffs. I like braids. I love braids. Like, say,
well,
I
say this
yes,
to
I love,
a lot
my,
of
my daughter. My daughter get a braid, she getting her some braids.
I love braids. And I'll say this about sisters, and sisters need to keep this in mind when it comes to weeds. One of the biggest problems in our community, sisters, is that the fact that our men can't touch our hair. Let's take the money and the vanity aside. Put that aside for a minute, and we'll talk about intimacy. One of the reasons that these black men, they like other races of women because they can actually run their hands through their hair. And I know if I'm dealing with someone or dating them, and we get to that point, I love my hair to be ran, to run his fingers through my hair and tell me how good my hair smells. And excuse me for being a little rude, but when he goes to pull it, it doesn't come off. And you'd be surprised how many black men appreciate real hair. And like I said, I'm all for the glamour and all that stuff. We live in the new millennium. But what I'm not for, you talk about subconsciously, like I said, if you're wearing a weave every day and you have daughters, or even a son, but daughters particularly, you're telling them without telling them, this is what you got to look forward to as you get older. Because your hair isn't going to be this great, it's not going to be this long, it can't be blonde like this, or whatever color these women wear. And these are problems. And like you said, advice, subconsciously. You don't have to say anything to a little kid to get it in their subconscious, as you very well know. And like I said, black women have enough issues to deal with, and weave, I'm so sick of seeing weave. In Philly, they wear weave down to their behind. I mean, young as 12 up. 12
what's
up.
What's that place? Over here in Houston, that what's that hair? What's that Weave Express? The home of the $50 sew-in and all that other
we
stuff.
We have one of those.
I mean, and it's packed. If you look at the Instagram page, because they followed me, and then I say, "What is this place?" So I followed them back, and then they show all of the hair they do, and they're showing all the prices and stuff like that. And that place, they packed from what I saw.
Well, I'll tell you like this, advice, and I agree with you on this. It's time for the brothers to stand up and be men, because it's like I told quite a few of them, if you're tired of black women being big and fat and disgusting with no figure, if you're tired of them wearing this horse hair on your head, stop screwing them, because as long as they feel like, as long as they feel like this man will still lay with me or do little things for me, they're going to keep doing engaging in their behaviors. Now, one thing I like about a lot of white men, a white man will tell a white girl real quick, you're fat. You need to lose some weight. Our men need to get back to that.
Well, you know,
absolutely.
I'm saying, I don't know if you saw
absolutely.
That. Like, I don't know if you saw that video I did with Karen Lee Potter, and we discussed that issue. And she said that, white men, said there are just, they will say you're fat, they're this, they say they're very
right.
strict. She said, I'm jealous of black women because they can eat what they want, and they don't have to worry about nothing. But us white women, we got to worry about everything. And they are like that. But, black men just like, women who have curves, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as...
Okay,
long
no, 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 I got to stop you at first.
I ain't say
Pamela Greer had curves.
I ain't say 400 pounds. Excuse me, Gabrielle. I ain't say 330
that's
pounds.
That's the thing, because I always post this on my Instagram account, and I always post this on Twitter and stuff. Like, they'll sit there, they'll be bigging up these girls, telling them they thick and sexy. It'll be a girl with five stomachs and cellulite all over her thighs.
Oh, but that,
the black women.
You pay attention to them dudes, stomachs, Gabrielle? Like, really? That's some dudes. That's some dudes trying to
really?
Get
one. It was like Keisha thicker than oatmeal with no butter Jenkins. That's something. That was her Facebook name. Okay, black men will sit there and big up these sloppy women, tattoos everywhere, hair look a mess, eyebrows not groomed, just nasty.
Dirty house in the background.
Spots on the mirror, just nasty, trifling females. They'll sit there and big up these girls, tell them how sexy they are. See, the thing is, black men need to encourage the women to do better. I had, you know, if it wasn't for black men, I wouldn't be in the gym. I'm in the gym 5 days a week, thanks to black men telling me, you know, your beautiful girl, step your game up. And I wish that we had more black men like that to say, you know what, you need to step your game up. Because if you look at the pictures of the women back in the day, the black and white photos, black women were gorgeous.
We're bad. We're bad.
Yes, but. It's
absolutely.
Back then, American culture wasn't the way it is today. We didn't have fast food culture. Everybody was at home cooking. We ate more agriculture. In other words, more organic food. Because I remember my grandfather and them growing stuff out the garden and picking it and cooking it. That kind of organic stuff. So we switched from organic type food. Most of the country ate that way. The mom cooked, the dad worked or whatever, to a fast food society that's not even giving us, you know, good food. Well, they were saying the other day, McDonald's only got 15% meat and 85% fillers in it that can give you some cancer. And, you know, that pink slime they use to make the chicken nuggets, and this is the stuff people are lining up for eating. So it does make a difference. We didn't have a fast food restaurant in every single corner.
But you're talking to a person that has a little bit of a marketing background. And I understand toward the beginning of the 90s, blacks and Hispanics became the target groups for Coca-Cola, Pepsi, on and on and on. But here's mm-hmm. the thing. For all the black women I hear that say they're so strong, and the men too. I'll include some of the men on this, but women particularly. If you're that strong, you should be strong enough to say, I don't need this right now. I love my family. I love my children. I'll cook for them. I don't care what they're selling. It's about what you buy. And you got to understand, like I said, I went to school with white kids as a kid, and I've always been overweight. I'm an overweight woman right now, according to the BMI. I stand at 5'11", and I'm 190 pounds. And I make sure I walk every day. I don't eat fast food. I'm very mindful, but I like rich foods, your butters, your steak, and all that stuff, because I'm like you, advice. I remember my people going and slaughtering cows and filling the freezer, and we always ate well. But that shows how weak you are, black woman. I don't care what they're selling. It's about what you buy. And what bothers me is, like the young lady said, what really bothers me is a few sisters that do keep their bodies, keep them fit. And not everyone's going to be really thin and all of that stuff, but we're not just talking about curves. Some of these heifers are so big, you can't tell what sex they are from the back, and they got this vanity, this ego, like they are the absolute shit, and there's still men out there that are willing to screw them, and that is a problem. Black men, step your standards up, because when I hear other races of men discuss the black men, is like you said, you're a laughing stock because you swim in the sewers with everything and you won't check your woman. And certain things, like you said, we shouldn't have to say. You're the man. You're supposed to check me on certain things. Like I said to a couple sisters out here, one of the problems when you don't need no man, one of the problems is there is no man to say, hey, babe, you're getting a little fat. Maybe you should go take a walk. You don't need that baconator. Put that mess down. Because to a lot of black men's credit, they may eat crap, but they're playing basketball, football, baseball. They're very athletic. Black women have gotten away from the double dutching. We used to, I don't know how old you are, Gabrielle, that's your name? But I know you remember back in the day, you had to practice your dance steps after school because you might be going to your cousin's house or something and have a dance off. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know
exactly
what I'm talking about. So I commend you.
That was only about 10 years ago. And this is making me sick. I don't see all I see little girls, the generation behind me, the girls that are teenagers, right, you know, preteen teenagers right now. All I see them doing is be on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, they on the internet all day long. It is very rare that I'll see girls doing what I was doing back, you know, outside playing out, you know, put the radio on and go to the park and start dancing. Or go play on the playground, or go for a walk with your friends. We didn't even think it was exercise because that was just something that we were encouraged to do.
We did, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
You compare an actual dance move they used to do back in the day, Yeah, they consider twerking dancing, and that's, I mean, like, come on. Like, really? I mean, that's well, just dance.
Strip club in the bedroom.
But with twerking, with twerking and the screens, the technology and whatnot, that's a testament to these parents. And as a woman with no children, who women especially, and some of the men, try to convince me how good they're raising their children, advise, if I met your children tomorrow, you would never have to say, I take care of my kids. You know why you wouldn't have to say it? Because I can see it. And twerking's
yeah.
nothing new. They were twerking back in 2001 when I was going on spring break and shit in Florida. Twerking's nothing new. What's
yeah,
new
they were,
is
doing, they were doing that in the 90s. They were doing that in the 90s.
Before then. And it goes to show what parents out here. It goes, and the lack thereof. And like I said, and I keep saying this, and I'm going to keep saying it until I get to a national forum, black woman, I'm going to keep my foot on your neck because you're disgusting, you're vain, you are arrogant, and you are one of the sole reasons our children are in the crapper. We are the only race in this country where they keep having to lower standards so black kids can meet standards. And my personal feeling is either you listen or you don't, but don't come crying when the schools get shut down because your daughter's twerking and not doing her work or your son is cursing the teacher out or whatever the case may be. What are you crying about? Because it's getting to the point as a black person, if I see a group of 12-year-olds, I cross the street because I don't know what they're on. And the parents are just as bad, absolutely just as bad. And as far as the technology and whatnot, that's the parents. That's lazy parenting. If you're going to stick a 2-year-old in front of a tablet and call yourself a good parent, you have some issues. That's lazy parenting. And it's teaching your kid to sit and watch a screen all day long. And then we wonder why our kids are so fat. And to boot the fast food. Like I said, insanity. Absolute insanity.
This is something that was on my mind about kids. I say, Lord bless me to get a little bit more money. I would like to have a major like kickball tournament and like have a $10,000 prize. And you have a tournament
wow.
over a weekend, and you know you have all these teams competing. You know, make the prize be $10,000 for the winning team or whatever. And I think that would be good to get kids outside, have some sort of tournament. I mean, that's something I really thought about like last week. You know, just try to see, you know, eventually get that money together, you know, as I finish the rest of things. I got projects I got going on. And just see if I can sponsor that kind of tournament and see what we get with some people and put that together. Because kickball is something that everybody used to do. It'll get kids outside, you know, get kids playing again. Because we got to get these kids outside, you know, and stop being so much on technology and sucking up all that fake air in the house and get them some real oxygen. You know,
I don't blame the kids. Can't blame them for it. I blame the parents because, like you said early on in this conversation, you don't pay any bills. And never did I think I'd live in a time where parents ask the kids what they want. We should see with fast food, if you put adult decision in children's hands, they're going to pick the wrong thing more times than not because they're children. And my issue isn't with the kids. In my form, in the speaking that I do, I very rarely mention the kids, and some of them have terrible behaviors. But I understand it's not the kids. I have more issues with my peers than these kids. People in their 30s particularly, because I'm in my 30s. Most of you are full of shit. You know you weren't raised like this. Even if you came up in a bad home in the 80s because of the crack and all that other stuff, we're past that time. And in your hearts, if you're black, you know it's wrong. And I know you know it's wrong because you get so mad when a black person checks you. And like I tell these people, I'm going to start asking for all the 80s kids shirts and all this shit I see. What 80s were you a part of? Because I remember the 4 food groups. I remember having respect for my elders. I remember getting popped upside the head for getting sassy and all this stuff when parents were real parents, and we need to get back to that point. We put too much emphasis on what these kids are doing and not enough emphasis on these baby mama and baby daddies because I don't look at them as parents. I never did, and I probably never will. Someone posed a question to me. They asked me, do you think there's a good baby mama? And I said, no. I don't. I think there's women who persevere more, and I'm not talking about traditional single mothers or widows, or divorcees. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about baby mamas. They're detrimental. They're one of the problems in our society. That's why these kids are running amok across the races, but ours is leading. And that's where we need to start with, these so-called parents, these grandmothers at 35 years old. Let's start with them. Let's take the heat off the kids, because kids are going to be kids. I did shit as a kid, and both of you did too, because we were children at the time. Kids are going to do things. Let's start talking about these parents, because all in all, I'm out here looking for a second job now. You two are probably, I know you're a working man. And Gabrielle, I know you're probably a working woman. We're paying taxes for the demise of our race. I have issue more with the parents, absolutely, more than the kids. Because kids can be, they can be turned around because they're children. And children only do what they think adults want them to do. When you got videos like the girl, I think it was on another subscription, that had her little girl twerking the Body Party by Ciara. That image stayed in my head so long. I can't even listen to that song, which it's not that great of a song. I like the original better, but the point is, as an adult woman, I can't listen to that song without thinking about that little girl. And 5 years from now, when she's 12, people, oh, she's bad. She's so bad. I've never heard a race of women call kids bad as much as black women. And like I tell them, if you call them bad, that's what they'll be. Now, when she gets pregnant at 12 or 13, that same bitch of a mother will be blaming her. Not the fact that she put her daughter up for pedophiles in the world to see twerking to a song that she shouldn't even be listening to. I have more problems with you, broad, because I have to go work to help you support your children, because there's no man in sight, and if it is a man, it's a poo-putt nigga that's probably molesting your daughters and sons. I have more of an issue with you. And like I keep telling people, we're about to get a Republican president in the next 2 years, whether blacks like it or not, and I'm all for it, because this country needs to get back to some morality, conviction, and personal responsibility. And under democratic rule, I don't think it's going to happen, especially in black America. And like I said, no, it ain't the kids. It's these adults. They're much worse than the kids. You got 30-year-old women, 35-year-old women trying to compete with 21-year-old women, because most of these 35-year-old women were so fast and whatnot. And if you're over 30, if you graduated around 98 like I did, being fast and loose was just coming on the scene. But before that, it wasn't acceptable. Now it's just so acceptable and cute to these parents. And that's what I take issue with.
You see the new thing that's popular now is, and they talk about it a lot, the side chicks. Like, that's the new thing now. Like, man, it's popular to be a side chick now? I mean, like, you usually, like, show those kind of people. Now you're popular, glamorizing side chicks. But give me a second. I need to answer these calls before I want to make sure I answer every call. Area code 973, you on the show. Area code 973. Okay, they're not answering. Let's move on. Area code 239, you on the show.
What's going on, Vibe Show?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. I did want to talk about the topic, but you guys went into so many different discussions, but I want to say something.
Go ahead.
We were talking about the black man needs to correct this woman.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in a day where, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm 30 years old. We're living in a day where it's popular to say you can't call a woman fat. You know, the feminist movement tell you
and
can't
I've
do these things. So how do you expect black men to just go?
Problem, because it is becoming, it's a very big issue. I'm trying to fight against this because for some reason it's wrong for you to sit there and tell a woman, you know, it's not healthy to be obese. And I've said it's not healthy. I didn't say anything about beautiful or being cute. I said it's not healthy to be obese.
I agree.
Because especially as a black person, because we are genetically predisposed to having diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer,
absolutely,
everything else, and that comes from technically, according to the height and weight chart, supposedly I'm obese and I only weigh 120 pounds. But that's besides the point. But at the same time, because, you know, black women, we carry our weight differently, so I'm not obese, but according to the chart, I'm supposed to be 80 pounds. But at the same time,
Jesus.
I haven't seen 80 pounds in probably 15 years.
You're not white. I get you. The BMI is based on white and Asian.
But
no,
at the same
time,
black man can't check a woman. But a black man can say, you need to lose weight.
Well, the thing is, I disagree with that. And like I said, and one of my goals that when I become the orator that I'm meant to be is we need to get away from this PC bullshit. Brother, you need to check the episode of Martin when he put Gino on a diet, when he was on a health kick. No, you call these heifers fat. That's what you are. And because you want to know something, it's not even that a lot of them are overweight. It's the attitude they give men, black men particularly, and then got the nerve to talk about what a black man needs to have and all this. Homegirl, you're 400 pounds. You're 400 pounds. You are not the pick of the litter. Like I said, no, you need to get like your white counterpart and start calling these hoes fat. You're fat and you're disgusting and it's a sin. For all the Jesus preaching I hear black women do, and they're highly favored and they're so blessed, it's the God in them, well, gluttony's a sin. Actually, it's a deadly sin. And you're talking to a person that loves to eat well. Matter of fact, when I come to Houston, I'm going to eat so much barbecue, I'm going to eat it till I pass out, pork and all of it. But I'm also going to make sure I walk in Houston.
Hello?
Love the swine. Love it. Love it.
Well, no. Here's my point. This is the thing I think you guys are not seeing. We're living in a different time. So just with the times, you're talking about the kids being out in play. Where I live at, there's no park. I live in a complex. It's time to adjust with the times. It's time for us to realize, okay, the issue is this. Kids need to go out and play. They couldn't do like we did, so now we got to come up with another way to do it. You see what I'm saying? We got to learn to adjust, as black people adjust with the times. Even going back with child abuse, whipping kids with a belt ain't cool no more. That was a time where it was cool, but this is a new age.
But at the same time,
I don't believe in that.
I didn't have no parks to play in. Like, it was very, there was one park, but what we would do is we would just get creative as children. We would go and get sticks and rocks and pine cones and go play in an empty field somewhere and make a game out of that. So not having a playground doesn't always mean
we didn't have a playground in my neighborhood. We played football in the field. We ride bikes. We would throw rocks. We have firecracker wars. You know, shooting each other, Roman candles, throwing cherry bombs at each other. I mean, we all kind of crazy stuff.
And wait a minute, I live in a city that has plenty of playgrounds and parks, and one of the most aggravating and disgusting things I see, any playground or park near a black area is usually litter-filled. There's prostitutes. There's drug dealers. See, black people will do anything around their kids and protect and say they love them so much. If you love your kids so much, F a new day. No, we're in the same day. A lot of the problems we have in our community, the answers are like they've always been. It's not because there's not playgrounds. It's because these parents are lazy. A lot of these parents, if they're 400 pounds and they sit in front of a screen all day, they're not going to tell their kids to get out and exercise because they don't exercise. They don't want to walk. And like I said, and that's cool with me, but what isn't cool with me, black people, black women, stop saying how strong you are because you're weak in almost every facet. You're weak in almost every facet. Academically, you're weak. Physically, you're weak. When it comes to wearing your own hair, your own eyelashes, your own nails, you're weak. And now you got these idiots that are putting silicone butt implants and crap in their bodies and all this other stuff. You are weak in every sense of the word. You are not strong, and you're damn sure not godly. You're not godly. I'm tired of all the God talk. Okay.
I don't agree with
that.
You
don't have to.
Well, okay. Here's the deal. This is what you're saying. Now you got to look at the variables. Everything changed. Now you got single parents who go work 40 hours. They have to take care of home. There's no father.
Well, no one told you to be single. No one told you to be a single parent.
I understand that, but people are going to make mistakes, and we have to count in the mistakes. We're not going to become better as a people if we say, okay, you got to hold to this standard, and then not help them get there.
Well, no, one child's a mistake. Then explain to me the brothers and sisters that got 2, 3, 4, 5 mistakes.
This is the thing.
A lot of black men and women, you're going to die lonely. Taking the money out of it, no one wants to grow old alone. And like I said, now the new thing is the side chick. Only our community embraces such freaking insanity. Black women get called everything but wives. Wives and mothers. You got baby mama, shorty, wifey, busted babies. Everything but a goddamn mother and a wife. And I don't care about the new age 84. Because some of the things are going to be American and they're tradition and they're not going anywhere. And if it hurts too much to tell these fat lanes and to tell these pseudo-parents what time it is, I'm going to have to check and see if you're a real 80s person, for real. For real. Because I'm not scared to say it.
Here's my deal. I think the only way we're going to change things is to change the church to back where it was and the men to back where it was. That whole thing with telling the women should handle that. Y'all should be telling sisters, okay, y'all got to do better. Men, we need to tell men, hey, dude, just don't just go mess with anybody. Have standards about yourself. That's our job, not to tell a woman.
Well, like I said, I don't believe it's new age, and I think 30-year-olds and mid-30s and even early 40s, I think a lot of them are full of shit. Absolutely, and I give the 90s people a little more leeway because y'all don't remember life before a lot of things, the crack and the rap and all that. But if you were born in the latter 70s and early 80s, you remember a lot of things, and those same things have not changed. Just like the BS I hear, oh, if you hit your kid, you're going to go to jail. That's bullshit because I see chicks hitting their kids just for being kids. I've seen women in Philadelphia. They're little kids, little babies, like 1, 2 years old. If they ask them a question, shut the fuck up before I punch you in the face or slap them in the head. I don't see nobody calling the cops. So you mean to tell me when your child's wrong and you discipline them, then you're scared of the cops? Like I said, 80s people and latter 70s are full of shit, and they need to get it together. It ain't no damn new age. And if it is, that's part of the problem, a new age. Maybe we should go back to some of the traditions, these 80-year-olds that are dying off, these 90-year-olds, you know, the ones who really fought for your rights to be on this phone and to have your own show and all that, that are still living, that are scared to say anything to young black people. They're scared. What the hell are our elders doing being scared of us? This is inexcusable. It's disgusting. And I don't care about a new age.
I did a story a while back, and they had an elderly lady, you know, and she said she was afraid to tell them young people anything because they'll cuss her out or they'll want to, you know, beat her up or shoot her or whatever. Yes, it's that bad that people that fought for our rights are afraid, you know, of these youngsters. Like I said, I say this again, you know, I'm really, you know, struggling and dealing with, okay, if I really want to jump to this black, you know, the crime that happens in our community, it'll be a sad thing I'll jump on that topic because, you know, once somebody constantly putting it in your face, it will be disparaging, you know, and I'm just trying to, you know, but we need to talk about that topic because, you know, if you want to try to bring awareness to something, then we need to go ahead and talk about that. And, you know, like I said, in the early, like say 80s, 90s, I remember when rap came out. I remember when rap told the stories of the neighborhood and the hood and all this other stuff. Now it's turning to something just commercialized and stupid. I've seen the evolution of that. I've seen the evolution of a whole lot of things within, you know, my childhood to now. And it's sad. It's very, very sad that we have today. But let me go ahead on and answer this one last call. I appreciate you calling, brother.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Cool.
All right, let me answer this other call here. Area code 604, you on the show?
Hey, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm excellent, man. I really enjoy your whole viewpoint, your conservative views, and everything like that. I'm a big fan of yours, and on your subject on abusive parenting, what I know from fact, and because I was brought up in an abusive family, but not so much physical, but more of a mental and verbal abuse, mm-hmm. and what happens. Is what I've learned is what happens is a circle is that because my mother was abused and her father was probably abused and throughout generations and generations and generations, when you're taught from a very young age that, you know, you're nothing but a failure, you're a mistake, and mm-hmm. Et cetera, then when you get taught that at a very young age, you begin to believe that. You know,
yeah.
So and it's very very hard to get over that. Even like I'm 40 years old, and even at this age, it's very hard to like build a good self-esteem, build a good life, and a lot of the times I find like it might be a defeatist purpose, but I think that people should have to go through some kind of licensing or some kind of test where they won't be, you know, able to have children unless they pass a certain test.
Oh, we
you
need
know,
that.
Because
we
got licensing. To drive.
Of course,
we got licensing to go
we'll have
fishing.
The streams
we
the
got
on the far left will say that
to, you know, drive. We got licensings to do everything on God's green earth, except the most important thing that we can do is have children and bring up a future.
Well, can I address that? What you're talking about?
Yeah, sure.
Well, to tell someone they need to have a license to have children, that would be a great violation of all our civil liberties. So we wouldn't want to do that. But, you know, this will help me, you know, at least with some of my stuff that I dealt with. And a lot of people may not believe like me, and that's fine. What helped me out a lot was God, you know, to help me to realize, you know, he loved me, he happy with me, and he has a purpose for my life. And, you know, when I was dealing with a lot of pain and suffering in my life when I was around 15 years old, he took it away from me. So, you know, now I'm recharged. I feel confident in myself. I have my goal and purpose on what I need to do. And, you know, that's kind of where, you know, I center most of my lifestyle at. You know, you say conservative. Me, I look at it as, you know, I do believe in a conservative lifestyle, but not political conservative. I'm talking about conservative of, you know, family, you know, God, morals, you know, like I said, self-respect, you know, for all people. And you know, that's why I look at these problems that we got in this country, you know, all over the place. It's just, you know, us being in the toilet. We can't say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore and mention God in it, or it's a problem to offend
that.
Somebody. You know, we can't discipline our children for, you know, and I said discipline, not abuse.
You can't even say the Lord's Prayer anymore.
Exactly. Like I said, abuse, you know, we can't discipline our children anymore, or we, you know, getting arrested for it, but yet the police can beat our children down, tase our children, shoot our children, and nothing happens to them. But as a parent,
exactly.
We're going to jail. Well, it'll be
well, they're
bullies
with badges now. There's no intelligence in the police force. It's just they don't even screen these people. They're just bullies with badges.
I agree.
Like,
that's
when
why
I see a cop now, I don't feel protected. When I see a police officer, I don't feel protected. I feel threatened, and that's a sad story.
Well, yeah. I think the police get a bad rap because all of them aren't bad and they are needed. And I don't believe in sterilization or licensing, but I do think they should bring orphanages back. If you're allocating all this state benefit to these women who could care less, these children are no more than wallets with pigtails. Why don't we take that money and start bringing the orphanages back? At least the kids have a chance coming out of that. At least they have a chance. At least
well,
they have
problems.
A chance.
There's problems in the orphanages also.
I'm quite sure, but I can take abuse from another person, and it's supposed to be my mother or father, and they're tormenting me every day. And I assure you, sir, a lot of the young black kids out here, they are being tortured at the hands of their mothers these days, absolutely tortured. And if you don't believe me, check YouTube. When your mother's twerking in front of you.
I totally agree with you, but the one thing I've noticed is that you're – throwing around the names, like, it doesn't matter what color you are. This child abuse happens in every race, every
we agree
creed,
with that.
Every color.
100%.
Like, you're
well,
saying
sir,
black,
I agree
I'm
with
glad
that.
You
saying
brought
white
that up.
People, you're saying
I'm glad
Asian
you brought
people.
That up. I'm glad you brought that
well,
up.
You know, like, well, I agree with you.
It perpetuates
but again,
the problem when you keep saying black, white,
well,
yellow,
sir,
every...
why does that perpetuate
okay,
a problem?
Okay, wait a minute. One at a time. Okay, let him go,
yeah,
then you
yeah.
go. Go ahead, sir.
I'm just saying that the more you say black, they'll be segregated. The more you say white, they'll be segregated. The more you say Asian, they'll be segregated. We have to learn for a fact to get past that because it happens to everyone. It doesn't matter.
Well,
like, for instance,
it does matter. It absolutely matters.
Hold on. Let him finish. Let him finish his point.
I'm just saying, I'm just saying that if we can all learn to get past that and look at a person's character, then we can see the value of that person, not because based on their color. You can be freaking green for all I care, and I'll still love you because I value your viewpoints, your opinions.
Well,
I mean, it is
important
to say that abuse happens in every race because I see it, and there's so many different forms of abuse. Abuse isn't, but we spoke about it already. Abuse can be verbal, physical, emotional. It doesn't, it has, I mean, it transcends every race, every culture, all around the world. People deal with abuse in their household. I mean, but at the same time, I think the lady on the line is saying black because as a black person, how it's almost impossible for someone of a black person to speak on the experiences of a white person or an Asian person because you're not in that house and you're not in that culture, so it's a little bit different. So you can, for the most part, it's a lot easier to speak from experience.
And I disagree because abuse is abuse. It doesn't matter if you're green or blue or whatever.
To further that point, a few things. Why is it when a black person in this country in 2014 brings up any civic commerce or anything like that dealing with their community, they should overlook it and see all races? I agree. Abuse in this country happens across the races. But I have to start in my community, sir, because my community is in dire straits. It's not young white men who are getting gunned down in every major and minor city in this country. Matter of fact, right now tonight, over in Houston, I'm sure someone's getting shot. Right here in Philly, New York, wherever we are in this country. Furthermore, I don't like to be made to feel like I have to look out for these other races when they have no allegiance or they have no allegiance to my race. And I get to see the Dominicans, the Asians, and what they think of blacks as they're making obscene money in my community and still get to talk to me like I'm a second-class citizen. They won't bring those bodegas to your neighborhood because they won't make any money. The Asians don't own your hair care supply. They don't. And why is it whenever a black person can articulate themselves and speak about the problems, we got to consider other races? Asians don't consider us. Only thing they consider is the money that we're handing them. A lot of whites living in Philadelphia is one of the most prejudiced cities I've ever been to. They don't have to consider us. When my sister just graduated from Temple, go Owls. She was the only black person in her school of discipline. And for the two years that she was there, a lot of those white kids were like they've been, for as far as I can remember, they teased differently. They wanted her to believe that her work wasn't as good. And some of these were professors as well. So why is it whenever a black person talks about the issues that are destroying their community? I can go into a white area and eat off the ground in some of these areas. You go to any major black part of a city, you can't do that. A lot of people are even scared to come and do commerce in the black community. These are problems. So, yes, I'm going to start with black and then ripple out to American society. But I have to start with black because there's only 30 million, give or take, of us and in comparison to the billion of Asians that are across the sea and the ones here, the European countries that have different segments of white. Same thing with our African ancestors, I'll say. There's different segment of them, but African Americans we're very different people, because as they recall us, we are the saying? We're the trees with no branches, or something to that effect. Where we don't even know where our roots come from. So America is our home, and we're still very young, and we are dying every day. Through these behaviors. So, yeah, I'm going to start with black, and I'm going to stay with black. And the thing is, I believe I don't believe in all this PC nonsense. And if things I say offend whites, I'm sorry about that, but it's just going to have to offend you.
I do understand what you're saying, but also is, like, the world is just not big enough to be segregated. Like, you can't just have, like, a fenced-off area for black people. You just can't have a fenced-off area for white people. They tried that way back way back at the founding. You know, they tried
but
that.
But she's not
that
saying anything
work.
About segregation.
Well, let me step in, because I heard both sides, and I'm going to say just my piece. There are some topics that I do that affect everybody. Like if you talk about, let's say, the morality in this country, the political aspect in this country, maybe something with religion, this topic, you know, abusive parents. Many topics that we can do, it affects everybody. But there are some particular issues that are specific to each group. And basically what, like, sometimes I address those issues, like she was saying. In the black community, we have issues with crime. We have a big single parenting issue. And other communities have crime, too. Don't get me wrong. Other communities have a single parenting issue, but ours are kind of at epidemic proportions. So we'll probably talk about that and say, you know, listen, the black single-parent household, the black crime, you know, that's what we need to address. Yes, these same things are in every community. I agree with you. And I've had people, I've done videos that talk about the black community, and people that isn't black say, you know, I can relate to this from, they say maybe the Hispanic community or even other white communities. They say, yeah, we got the same things going on, too. And, you know, we understand what you're saying. So I get that. You know, but her issue is she's kind of one of our problems are just out of the roof. Like I said, the white family structure is still intact. If the black family structure was still the same like the white family structure, we wouldn't have these problems that we have today in society, at least in the black culture. So that's why some things, and the thing is, you know, as a black person, we understand the inner workings of the problem. Versus, like, I know the white community may have their issues and their problems. And I know we all have the same problems in America. I mean, our culture is just horrible right now. We all can relate to that. But I don't know the inner workings of the problems in the Hispanic community or the Jewish community or the Asian community, the Arab community. I don't know unless we all come to the table and discuss these problems and see how we could, you know, fix them. I mean, that's kind of like...
I can understand that. Yeah, I can totally understand that.
Yeah, that's what I say, and that's my position, and that's kind of how I even do my videos. Some videos I do is for everybody, and some videos I'm able to speak to the black
community.
I've
watched all your videos, man. I really enjoy them,
yeah.
And I appreciate your time. And the thing on the child abuse, to get back to the original topic, maybe a helpful thing would be just education. And like you say, just getting it out there and just people talking about it and finding, you know, if there is a cure, maybe we can find it, you know, like, because it affects even verbal abuse, you know, neglect. It'll affect you your whole life. Like, I'm 40 years old, and it's still affecting me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I appreciate this show. It was good.
Going to a psychologist to talk to someone?
I have been through counseling, yeah, most of my life, actually, yes. And the thing is, it's a mental disorder, too, because my mother she's clinically depressed, and since, you know, it's hereditary, her father and his father, and then now I am. And then just sometimes when you're clinically depressed, you don't know how to vent your anger in a constructive way. Well, there's no way. Anger is never constructive, but, you know, in a not hurtful way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately for a lot of the youth I speak of, black youth I speak of, due to the abuse and the things they're suffering in this community, they're not going to live to see 40.
Well,
especially black males. They're not going to live to be 40. And that stems from abuse of what's going on, and this is the reason initially, I'm keeping it black, absolutely, because a lot of the young black men aren't going to get to seek therapy in their 20s because they're not going to make it to 18. Some of the young black men in South Side of Chicago, it's summer break. Some of them won't be returning to high school next semester. And these are issues. And like I said, I have to keep it black. I'm absolutely going to keep it black, absolutely, initially anyway, because I agree with advice. Our country on a whole... it's going through a cultural dump right now. But like I said, my people and their behaviors and whatnot are making it absolutely impossible for other races, races that have usually have been our ally, like the Jews, like
yeah.
a lot of the Asians. They don't even want to deal with us because of this insanity. And I understand, like I said, the inner workings of my community, and I'm not going to be made to feel crazy. I'm not going to be made to feel anything for saying what's on my mind, saying what the problems are in my community, and the solutions to getting it back halfway decent, because, like it or not, white people still ain't losing in this country. And far as segregation, we are segregated, because I'm quite sure in Houston, there are areas where you only see white faces. Same thing here in Philly. You won't see a speck of color for miles down south, out west, or wherever. They're not, I can't say they're not totally losing because
like
our government sucks.
Every culture have their different area. Every, you know, they got Chinatown. They have, you know, where a lot everybody's community, you know, everybody's community, you know, do that. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But, you know, this is my thing, you know, get back to the topic. Abuse is something that everybody suffers, and like you said, you know, the black community suffers a certain type of abuse, you know, as well. You know, they talk about that the PTSD that we suffer a lot of, that's not talked about, and, you know, at least in the white community, they will address their issues like that, but in the black community, we don't address, you know, abuse, we don't address mental health issues as we should, and that's a big problem. What's going on with a lot of these kids, they run around with undiagnosed conditions and not being treated for it. So, you know, we all have a work to do. We all need to, like I said, understand we all different people. There's nothing wrong with being different people. We all have different individual problems within our community. There's nothing wrong with that. And we all so have similar issues. That's why I'm going to push more always for return to the family. And that's with all communities, not just one. Because we do have a single parenting problem in every community. Yes, I've seen it. I'm gonna post a video today where we had a woman and she was white, saying that she's the mother and the father. That's a problem. Okay.
Yes.
It's a problem
for
a woman to say something like that, and women deserve a car for Father's Day. That's a problem. So I'm
but
gonna
it's
post
like
a video
you just said advice.
Excuse me.
It's like you just said though, and like I said early on, the difference is. White men know how to check their women. And that type of woman, she'll be alone more than likely because she's not going to be the type of woman a lot of men of stature go after, not in our community.
But then
and there's glaring differences.
But the thing is, that's not my issue. I mean, with that, you know what I'm saying? I tell people, just get your life right. But, you know, I'm just saying that we all got problems. That's what I'm saying. We just need to, we all got to live together some way, form, or fashion. We got to try to fix our problems, all of us. You know,
yeah.
That's for sure. Just like, I advocate against police brutality. I advocate against that. I advocate against, you know, these teachers with these students. You know, I don't like that. And like I said, I'm really, you know, thinking about really going hard against the crime within the black community because that needs to be shown, you know, a little bit more, you know, as to try to bring more of awareness to the epidemic of the problem, and, you know, because anybody can get killed with crime. And the crime should not be allowed because the police is allowing the crime, which any of these criminals can kill anybody. It has nothing to do with just killing black folks. They can kill anybody. And the police is allowing this to happen because I don't know, when the police want to shut something down, they can. FBI, whoever. So that's what we need to get to. Why is the crime being allowed like that? Because we have the strongest military in the world, all the weapons in the world we can kill people with. But they even built an Iron Man. So they even showed that. So, I mean, why we still have crime? So it's more to it than that. It's a lot of these corrupt politicians. It's hurting everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they take it. They ship all our jobs off to China and the Philippines and Taiwan and everything else. Nobody's addressing that. Nobody's addressing why is everything so high, but yet they won't raise minimum wage. They say it's going to hurt the economy, but yet everything else is going up. Food going up, gas been up. It never went down, but yet they won't raise the minimum wage. I mean, so it's a lot of things we need to discuss that hurts everybody. And then some things that's just, you know, a black community issue. You know, that's black people that we understand the inner workings of. So with all that said, you know, I appreciate everybody calling the show tonight, and I thank y'all for joining us. And
thank you.
Ms. Gabrielle, want to say anything before we wrap up?
Yes, I just invite you guys to check out my YouTube channel. I'm actually going to be posting some videos pretty soon. It's youtube.com /user/GIGIAYUMU. You can also check me out on my blog, www.GIGI-ASARE.com. And on both my YouTube channel and my blog, you can find the links to my other social media pages, my Twitter, my Facebook fan page, all my other social media accounts is the best way to get in touch with me.
All right.
I thank you for having me, Advice, because I've been wanting to call your show for a while, and I don't know why I appreciate the call in.
Well, you came through like a firecracker, ain't you?
Well, a lot's been going on, and due to resources, that's the only reason I'm not on social media as much. But I fully intend to get in the arena because, like I said, I like a lot of you guys on YouTube, but you're still men, and you don't understand everything, and I'm like you. I want to get my voice out, but I'm not just going to use social media. I'm going to do like T.I. when he was black, and I'm going to keep it in the streets because it needs to be in the streets too, not just social media to me. So, but I do thank you because you've had me cracking, especially Ratchet Video Weekly. I love those. You should do like 2 or 3 of those a week. Those are great.
Yeah, a lot of people say that, but, you know, I keep up with I have these channels to run and this radio show, and I'm trying to upload more videos to my website so I can do what I can. So, you know, but I definitely appreciate you calling in and everything, and I'm about to wrap the show up. And
all right.
So, you take care.
Very good night.
All right. You too.
Good night.
All right, everybody. Like I say, thank you for watching the show tonight. I know we drifted off to a different topic. You know, like I said, some of these issues that, you know, we talk about abuse and stuff like that, even though they were talking about some black community issues, a lot of it is linked to abuse as well, and these things aren't being addressed. Some people become parents when they shouldn't have. And, you know, when you're a lot younger, you're 18, 19, or even somebody is 16, having a child, your patient level is not where it should be at for children. Now, I'm 35 years old. I have a lot of patients for, you know, children now. Like I told a lot of people, I'm about to have my daughter in about a month. So, you know, I have more patients now versus, let's say, if I was 15, I wouldn't have no patients for no kid crying all over the place. No. So, you know, it's just a lot of things that we just need to, you know, work on and fix wherever we're at. Now, make sure that you like the Facebook fan page. Anything I post there, you can get right then and there. And, you know, when I post something just out of the clear blue sky, I do that sometimes. Or if I post something on my website, make sure that you like the Facebook fan page so you can get, you know, the notification of that, because I took down a lot of videos off of YouTube that's older, and I'm going to repost them to the website, as I explained in a post the other day. So what I would do after this radio show on the Advice Show TV channel, I'll put up my 3 videos, at least I did for the day. And like I said, y'all can check them out, you know, leave comments and everything about it. I'm pretty sure y'all probably enjoy them, hopefully, that y'all enjoy them. So thank you, everybody, for watching and listening, and see you next time.